Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
2017 balls.
It's 2018 balls already.
Now it is. But
now it is.
We're talking about 2017.
Welcome, everyone, to episode number 142 of the Metal Geeks podcast. I, of course, am one of your co-hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, along with...
Brutal Dave, I'm back, y'all.
Back, bitches.
Back from vacay.
We're all back from some kind of vacay.
I guess so, yeah.
And we also have...
George motherfucking Tripsis.
So I guess let's address the elephant in the room that we haven't recorded in about a month.
Who are you calling an elephant?
It's a white elephant. Because
we had one of those.
We did have the white elephant. And yeah, the white elephant present that we received at your party went to good use.
What was it? What did you get again? I don't remember.
The tray, the bean dip
tray. Oh, the bean dip tray, yeah.
Yeah, we actually gave it to somebody else at a white Christmas party.
You gave it away already?
At a white elephant party, and they loved it.
It's an awesome tray.
Yeah,
I was almost this close not going to put it in there, but Catherine made me do it.
And he rolls a weed. I think the person that got it from us is rolling his weed on it.
Makes sense. Yeah. It's a good plate.
So we haven't done an episode in a while because holidays, number one, happened. Dave was out of town on vacation, and the computer in the studio fucking went down, basically.
It's been trying to do that for a while.
It's been trying to do that. It finally did. Yeah, it did. But thankfully, during the holiday break from work, I was able to take it down to the Apple store. And big thanks to Gabe over there for fucking really going out of his way to help me fixing it. So I went down on a Friday, my first Friday off. I was like, hey, I have this iMac, 27-inch iMac, and it's running slower than balls. What can I do? Can I make an appointment to bring it in? They had no appointments for, like, the whole week. I was like, oh, okay. Great. So they recommended me. He's like, holiday time, we open at 8 a.m. on Saturday. Bring it here before we open. And that's what we did. We brought it to the mall. Nothing's more awkward than walking around the parking lot into the mall with a big-ass 27-inch monitor. You know, we hid it under a blanket, too. And brought it in there, and it took
about... What, you think you were going to get mugged? Like, give me your damn computer!
Maybe. I don't know.
Really? You'd be like, fine, take it. It's broken.
Right, you fix this shit.
Yeah.
We hung around the mall for a little bit, and about half an hour later, they fucking texted us, hey, we're ready to see your computer. And, you know, I sat there. It was weird. I sat there in the mall, in the Apple store, with a hard drive backup, backing all my pertinent files off of that computer... onto a hard drive.
All your illegal shit?
No, I let that go.
Hmm.
Yeah. But all my work shit and some other stuff, all the backups of podcast stuff that wasn't backed up already, moved it to a hard drive. It took a while, and we're just sitting there, and, you know, the guy was helping other customers at the same time, but he finally did some things, and he was going to, you know, reinstall the software, and that didn't work the first time, and he did it again, and it worked. He was thinking it might have been the hard drive going out, which they don't even fix hard drives at the store. Do you know that?
No, they have to send it off. Back.
You have to take it to a specialty shop. But he was able to fix it, brought it home. Everything's working perfectly fine. That was the best holiday present ever.
You didn't have to pay for it?
Didn't have to pay for shit.
That's awesome.
Which is weird because it wasn't even in warranty anymore. It wasn't in AppleCare or anything. They just did it because, I don't know. I don't know why. I was willing to pay something to fix it. You know what I mean?
Right. Like a service fee or something.
Something, but no, it was completely free. I was like, that's why Gabe is awesome, if you're listening to the show now. Because we got a new fan by all that, too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, thanks again, man. I appreciate it. There's your tip right there.
There's your sign.
Right. So, let's talk about what George is up to, because we're going to talk to you about your trip, too. Okay.
Oh, well, me, I have nothing compares to what Dave's been up to. So, I just, you know, had Christmas...
Yep.
And then had New Year's.
New Year's was fun. We went over to your house.
Yeah, we hung out. I've watched some movies.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we'll get into that at some point. And I played some games.
What'd you play?
South Park, new one.
Did you beat it?
No. Oh, yes, I did beat it. Yeah, I beat it already.
But did you finish the game?
Yes, I finished the game. Okay. I beat it and finished the game.
Wow. At the same time.
At the exact same time.
You could do that with that game, because you can't play that game one-handed. If you had to.
If you really had to.
Yeah,
I guess you could.
Now, I finished a game the night before last, I think, or last night. I can't remember. I think it was last night. And I think we both ran into the same glitch on the... You played on Xbox?
Yeah, on Xbox One.
Yeah, so it's weird. After you beat the game, and it goes to a cutscene after the credits,
yeah,
it froze on me. I had to restart the game and then do the in-boss battle again, and then it worked again after that.
Yeah, it did the same thing for me, which was stupid.
It was worth... Yeah,
it's okay. The end credit scene was better than the actual ending of the game, so...
I agree. It was a great game.
I like the battle dynamic better in this game,
yeah,
more than the first one, but the story was better in the first one than in this one. Yeah.
I like the story in this one. It was a lot of fun.
It was fun, don't get me wrong.
I'm definitely still going to go back and...
I also like how they tied the first game into this one. That was really cool.
At the end, yeah. But I guess if anybody hasn't played it, spoilers, but you go back in time, and when you go back in time, you're in the first game, basically.
You fracture your butthole going through time.
Hence the title, The Fractured Butthole.
Yeah.
Butthole.
And butthole.
Do you play any other games?
I am now starting to play Horizon Zero Dawn.
Amazing game.
It's pretty.
We're going to talk about that when we get
complicated,
to
but pretty.
Yeah. It's difficult.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that much. It's a very difficult game.
Makes me want to put it on easy at times.
Yeah. I have before.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, you can go back and forth.
Oh, you can? I didn't know that. I thought you had to choose from the beginning.
I will talk about a game that I'm excited that I've been playing. It's like been catching all my attention. It's about on the Switch. It's called SteamWorld Dig 2. You ever heard of SteamWorld games?
No.
It's a series of games, but I played the first one a little bit, but somehow the second one has captured my attention, man. It's so fun. It's a Metroidvania game mixed with like Mr. Driller. Do you remember that game?
What was it?
Mr. Driller?
Mm-mm.
So you have like a shovel and you go, and the whole game takes place underground.
So it's like Shovel Knight?
Not really Shovel Knight, but it's more of a pickaxe, and then you have like this, like a drill thing you can get, but you power
up. Like Spelunky.
I was thinking Spelunky.
Yeah.
It's more Mr. Driller, where you're actually drilling down into the ground to find new areas and all this kind of stuff.
Okay.
It's really pretty. It's a lot of fun. It's on all consoles, but I picked it up on the Switch because I feel like a perfect mobile type of game, you know what I mean?
So you can play at work.
I can play it at work on my lunch break. That's right.
Quote, unquote, lunch break.
What do you think I do at work all day?
Play video games?
No, I wish. I don't have that kind of job. But, you know, it's a lot of fun, and it's probably in my top 10 games of 2017.
Wow.
Yeah, that's that much fun.
Cool. A little indie game made it to the top.
Yeah, believe that.
So,
want to talk about your trip?
Talk about Disney time, I guess.
Okay.
Let's do it. So, how long were you there?
5 days.
Wow.
I think. Actually, on property.
Yeah.
And
where'd y'all stay again?
Art of Animation.
How was that?
It was nice.
Did you have a suite room?
Yeah. That's part of why we picked that resort, yeah, because they had the family suite,
mm-hmm,
and any other way that we went, we were probably going to have to get two separate rooms, which for like one extra person,
not really
worth it.
Right.
So the family suite for the pricing was a big seller. We've always done moderate resorts in the past, stayed at French Quarter several times, and stayed at Caribbean Beach before. So this was our first value resort experience, and it was fine. It was, you know, the resort was nice.
Yeah.
You know, it's because of the nature of it, it's, you know, more cartoony and kid-friendly.
Right.
But it was enjoyable. The entry, the lobby, and the shops, and all the kind of decorations have a lot of concept art.
Yes,
that's cool.
Yeah,
I've seen that.
That's all decorated up with some of the, like, the character.
All the buildings
concepts
have like, there's like different sections. Like one's a Lion King. There's a Cars section.
We were in the Cars section.
You're in the Cars section.
Yeah, and yeah, there's a Lion King, Cars,
Little Mermaid,
and Finding Nemo.
Okay.
And the big pool is Finding Nemo themed.
Okay.
So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Did you go to the pool at all?
I didn't. My kids and their grandfather did the pool a few times. I actually found out. So we drove this trip. We drove to Florida. So the first leg of the trip, we stopped just outside Pensacola. And the hotel that we stayed in had an indoor swimming pool in a very heated room. God, it was hot in there. So we're like, okay, well, I guess we'll try to go swimming, even though it's cold outside, but it's nice here, so we'll go swimming. So I found out I don't fit in my swim trunks anymore in the good way, in the direction you want to go. Yep, they're too big. So
nobody wants to see that.
So like I like hiked them up and like went and stood in the pool and didn't move.
Because if you did, they'll just fly off.
They were just going to come right off. So
there's worse problems to have. That's
there are worse
true.
Problems to have. So I didn't have a lot of motivation to do pool stuff this trip. So yeah, we did. See what else? I mean, we hit all the major parks. Spent very little time in Hollywood Studios. That was one of the early things that we did.
There's not much there right now.
Right, and that's kind of why. It's very trimmed down right now. Gearing up for the Toy Story expansion and the Star Wars land and all that stuff that they're doing. But what we got to do was pretty cool. Did the tried and trues, did Tower of Terror a couple times, did Rock and Roller Coaster. I do want to talk about the updates to Star Tours.
Yeah, I was going to ask, did you go on that?
I did. Okay. We did it once. And like I said, we only did about half a day in Hollywood Studios this trip.
That's all
we did.
Did you go to the new brew house I have there, the pub?
In Hollywood?
Mm-hmm.
I guess not.
It's near where Sci-Fi Dining is, and it's sort of like where the entrance for where Star Wars Land is going to be.
Okay, yeah.
Do you remember where the Writer's Nook used to be?
Not really.
Like coffee shop. They turned all that area into like a pub type of place.
Okay. I did not know that. But anyway, on the Star Tours thing, so they had just reopened it when we got there. It had only been open for like a week, I think. Mm. And so the last update they did to it is when they kind of implemented the multi-ride experience.
Yeah, the 2.0.
Where you, every time you ride it, it's a little bit different. Yeah. The ride is in segments now, and the segments kind of randomize.
Yeah. Like when we rode it.
Right.
And that's also when they added the 3D mm-hmm. and all that.
Yes.
And so they've, continuing with that, they've reopened it, but now it's all new trilogy stuff.
For now. Yeah.
So after a little while, their plan is to close it back down and open it back up with kind of like everything.
To be more, because I know when the Force Awakens opened a couple years ago, we were at Disneyland, we rode it, and you rode... They had the new area from Force Awakens into it.
Jakku,
yeah. And everything else was randomized.
Okay.
But so now, yeah, I think what you're saying now, it's all the newer stuff.
Yeah. So
I guess it makes sense in the promotion.
Synergy, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it started similarly to how the previous version did, where you kind of in the hangar.
Yep.
And but instead of Vader, now it's Kylo Ren and the First Order troopers.
Oh, I didn't see. I haven't seen Kylo Ren.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you remember how like when they redid it, it opens up and it's usually Darth Vader like comes into the hangar and like tries to stop your ship. Now it's Kylo Ren. He does that.
Last time we rode it, Finn was there, right? Like Finn helped us out at the end.
I think so.
Yeah, something like that.
So yeah, we got Finn and Finn showed up at one point and Poe Dameron showed up.
Oh wow.
And
Poe Dameron, that guy's a dick.
Sure loves his BB-8 though.
He does.
He's robosexual.
He's very robosexual. It bothers me how affectionate he is with his robot.
He really loves rubbing his ball, too.
Yeah. It's just
all right, going back to the ride.
Trying to remember what all the segments were, but I know that we did the...
The new one's Crate, right?
Crate.
The mining planet?
Yeah.
The red salt planet?
That was one of them, and that was really cool. That was awesome. And then where it ends...
I've heard this.
When you come to the end of the ride and you land, you're landing in Galaxy's Edge.
The outpost for Galaxy's Edge.
So the new Star Wars expansion land that they're building, that's where you're landing.
It has a name, too. I can't think of it right now.
Makes sense.
So that was kind of that's a cool thing.
Yeah.
Because I'm imagining once it's open that you kind of, because Star Tours is kind of going to sit forward in the park compared to the rest of the Star Wars stuff.
So it's like your entrance.
So it's like your entrance into the land, and that's kind of a cool thing.
It's cool how they're doing that, but not everybody's going to do that. They're not going to go ride Star Tours first, and then
sure. But
if you want to do it right, Carrie.
Yeah.
But one of the things that really stood out to me this time, though, was how good the 3D was.
Mm. It was pretty good last time we rode it.
I don't like 3D stuff, really. I don't like watching 3D movies so much that I find them I don't find them immersive. I find them distracting. Mm. This actually felt immersive. Now, granted, it's only like it's only a few minutes.
Compared to like an hour and a half movie.
Right.
Yeah, I see.
But even so, I found this more immersive than the last generation of the ride.
And also, the whole thing moves with the ride.
That was going to be my other point, is that was better now. The integration between the ride movement and what's happening on screen was smoother. Like, it felt more connected now. Overall, I think they've really nailed it on this version of it. It felt like a really well done. Everything worked together perfectly. And like, where I was sitting in the ride vehicle was very back row, almost all the way over to the left. So I'm not on center at all, but I still felt completely integrated with everything that was happening. So they really pinned down that technology. It's really well done right now. So
awesome.
Did you go to the Avatar portion?
I walked through the Avatar land. I didn't do anything there. Like,
you didn't ride any of the rides?
Fuck no. The fucking lines, man. Are you kidding me?
How long was the wait?
At one point when I was there, I saw wait time for the Flight of Passage or whatever.
Yeah.
Like almost 5 hours. No. Not happening. No, I wasn't going to wait in line for that shit.
It would have been worth it, I bet.
Maybe not. I've never seen Avatar. I don't give a shit about
Avatar.
So
why do you hate it so much?
I don't hate it.
It sounds like you hate it.
I don't care. And
it's not
so
bad.
I'm not interested in it. I don't care about it. But my opinions of it when it relates to Disney World is more that I still firmly believe that Disney has buyer's remorse for Avatar. I really think they do.
Well, I don't know. They fucking bought Fox and bought the rest of it. So.
Well, I think Avatar Pandora Land, it was a test bed for what they can do for Star Wars. They're like, okay, how can we make this land really fucking immersive for people who don't even really know about the characters or the movie to still have a good time and enjoy themselves? And from what I hear, it's a really immersive land. I mean, the music, the sound, the architecture, everything about it is amazing. You know, I mean,
it's
is
okay.
That true?
It's all. I think it would have been cooler at night.
Yeah,
because I've heard that at night it goes all like bioluminescent and stuff. Yeah. It's supposed to be really cool, but they closed that part of the park before sunset. So
what? Really,
yeah. No. The day I was there, like they had like, you know, sandwich boards out that were like, you know, whatever, Pandora will be closed at this time today. And it was like before sunset. So you're not going to get that effect anyway.
Really?
That sucks.
But I just went and walked around for 15, 20 minutes in the land. Like I said, I wasn't going to do any of the attractions because I wasn't going to wait for that long.
Did you get a fast pass for it?
No, you couldn't. There weren't any available.
Lame.
But I went in one of the gift shops for a little bit, walked around.
Am I interested in the merch there? That doesn't interest me that much.
Yeah, I went in the shop where they sell the Banshee.
Yeah,
like you can like construct a Banshee,
wear it on your shoulder,
wear it
or something.
On your shoulder,
yeah.
And it'll
like in Renfest,
kind of. Yeah, like they kind of move the same way, I think, as those do. So
it's pretty cool.
There was cool stuff there, but I wasn't wowed by it. I wasn't blown away. I was like, okay. And I thought maybe if this was something that I was into, I'd enjoy this more. But I was trying to get something out of it. Like, I wanted to make a point to go there because I'm like, I want to see what this is all about, have an open mind. And it was okay to me. It wasn't fantastic. Like I said, I wish I'd seen it at night with everything lit up. I think
that would have made
a difference. So,
how was Epcot?
Epcot was cool. So one thing I haven't mentioned yet,
because we went
in December, everything was all holidayed up.
Oh yeah.
And, So Epcot was no exception. They, you know, huge Christmas tree in the center and everything's all lit up. All of the World Showcase pavilions were all decorated up for the holidays. It was really cool.
Didn't all the World Showcase pavilions have like their own version of like the Christmas story, like Santa, their version of Santa will come out?
I didn't see
I've heard about that.
I didn't see
that. So like
that.
Norway will have like their character or whatever. I was going to say Krampus, but that's not right. That'd be scary.
The only
weird for Disney to do that.
Yeah. The only Krampus
comes out to kill some kids, you know.
Like the only like Santa style meet and greet thing that I remember seeing was in the Magic Kingdom in right as you go in, there was, you know, a thing there.
Some old dirty guy you can sit on his lap.
Come on, little boy.
But yeah, I mean, nothing. I'm trying to think if there was anything spectacularly new at Epcot other than, like, there's a bunch of new restaurants in Epcot. A lot of the pavilions are doing, like, waterfront restaurants now.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And a lot of them are, they look nice.
We did, the Mexico Pavilion, there's one on the water now.
Yeah.
Which I did that with my uncle many years ago, which is good. Big question. You were at Epcot. Ooh. Did you do the Beverly Challenge?
I did.
And we
I know I did. We posted the video for it.
Yep.
So,
what did you think?
The Beverly was by far not the worst thing on tap.
Really?
There. God, there were some terrible things there.
What was worse than Beverly?
Some of the like pineapple ones.
What?
And like some.
No.
And I like pineapple. I enjoy pineapple.
Me too.
But no, some of the like fruit sodas and stuff they had there were terrible.
They're the weird passion fruit one, maybe, or something.
That one, yeah, that one flavor, wasn't good either.
So it's like fruit bubblegum or something.
But no, there were things there that I would far less like to drink than the Beverly, for sure.
Interesting.
I remember drinking, but I have no idea. I don't remember anything what it tastes like.
It's really bitter.
Yeah. It's meant as a palate cleanser type of, like, between course type of a drink, you know?
So make you puke before you drink more stuff.
Probably. If you drink enough of it, you might puke.
I think you're doing palate cleansing wrong.
Right.
We watched Illuminations like 3 times this trip.
Really?
We just happened to be there. And actually ended up getting really good viewing spots each time, which was cool because I've never really watched that show.
It's a good show.
I think it's my favorite nighttime show there.
Yeah.
I came to that.
Your favorite nighttime show at Epcot?
All of them.
Did we see that when we were there? I don't think we did.
We did not.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But it's a great show. And then they had a, I've watched it before, but I didn't have very good seating, so I couldn't see a lot of it. So I actually got the full experience this time. And they had there's like an extra like 5 minutes at the end for the holidays.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And that was really cool too.
I watch way too many Disney bloggers, so I've seen all this stuff.
But yeah, it was awesome. I think that's my new favorite nighttime show at Disney World. I really like that one.
Did you see the new castle projection show?
Kind of.
I don't remember what it's called now. It used to be called Wishes, but something different now.
I saw that on Disney Now.
I think it's like Happily Ever After now.
Yeah,
I think
that's
the name of it. I'm trying to remember where we watched from. Oh, we watched from... We were kind of off to the side somewhere. So we couldn't see the like the bottom part of the castle, but we could see the higher up stuff, and it was cool. I mean, they've really run with that technology, and they can do some really cool things with it.
So speaking of that technology, Hollywood Studios? Did you see what they were doing on the Tower of Terror? The projection, they did like a holiday projection stuff on.
No, I didn't see any of that.
Okay.
Was that a nighttime thing? So we weren't there then.
Okay.
So
I saw a video of that. That would look pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that was going on. But yeah. What else? Trying to think if what else was new.
I was like, is there anything new that was your favorite new attraction? That wasn't there last time?
I'm trying to think.
Did you do Frozen?
No.
Let it go.
Yeah, I did, however, do Elsa and Anna meet and greet.
Did you? Without
twice.
Your kids?
One time without my kids.
There you go.
So there's actually a story for why, though.
Okay, I want to hear the story. Father-in-law, right?
My niece.
Yeah.
She, so my sister has five kids and only one girl. And so, like, she's holding her own against this, like, house full of boys.
Yeah.
And she's tough as shit. Like, she's a tough kid. And she cracks me up. Well, she got into it. Something happened that day. And, oh, it wasn't even the other kids. It was their giant dog knocked her over. And she hit her head on, like, the paving stones, like, around the landscaping around their house. All and, like, got a black eye and, like, all this stuff. Felt really bad. And when I got that message that it happened, we were in Epcot. And I was like, she really likes Frozen. I wonder if I could go, like, get a video message from Elsa for her.
Mm.
Check the times. And of course, they're busy. But later in the day, around the fireworks time, there was no line at all. I'm like, all right, we'll give it a shot. So we went in and got both Elsa and Anna to do a little short video for my niece. And I messaged it off to my sister. And I said, you know, here's for her, and hope it helps her feel better today. So made her day.
That's a little bit of that Disney magic.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
And so she liked that, and then a couple days later...
What'd she say in the message?
Huh?
What'd she say in the message?
Just kind of
it's like, freeze your enemies. Just kind of... hear the lament in front of you.
Just a general wish you could be here, and, you know, sometimes bad things happen, but you got to let it go, and, you know, of course they're going to. But then my youngest daughter, she wasn't with us at that time. She was back at the resort with Pawpaw.
Yeah.
And so we didn't tell her that happened for a little bit because she's a big Frozen fan. Mm. And so finally we were like, okay, so we met Anna and Elsa, and they said they wanted to meet you, so we're going to take you back and meet them. And so we took her through and
Hung
with her. So
she's like, you did what?
Yeah.
We've partied with your pawpaw a little bit on the cruise.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So did you go to Disney Springs this time?
Yeah.
What did you think of the whole redo?
Pretty nice. I liked it.
So that outdoor shopping area?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Previously downtown Disney. That's
where we didn't go to, didn't we?
Yeah, I was so dead tired when we went, though. I didn't really care to be there anymore.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's really focused around the, I guess it was like the Planet Hollywood or whatever that's there. It seems like the whole thing is kind of focused around that.
That modern futuristic look, yeah.
But, I mean, it was pretty cool. I went to that hamburger place that you recommended.
Deluxe Burgers. Okay, what did you think?
So I actually didn't get a proper hamburger.
No.
They had a seasonal offering that was like weird. Pork belly.
Turducken.
Patty. Oh,
pork belly, really?
Yeah, and that's what I got, and it was good.
Should have got a turducken.
So
they had turducken. I would have probably gotten it.
I was just joking. I don't know if they had a turducken.
Did you get a shake, too?
No, I didn't get a shake.
The shakes they were...
I was eyeballing some of the alcoholic shakes, though, that sounded quite good.
You texted me about it. It was like with a bourbon shake.
There was like a bourbon shake.
Oh, I would have fucking gone for that.
I was sorely tempted. I wanted, and they had another chocolate and vanilla shake. I don't remember what the alcohol was that was in that one, but they both sounded really good. But
well, I'm glad you had a good time on your trip.
Had a really good time.
Kids had a great time?
Hmm?
Kids had a good time?
Yeah, yeah. I think I took something like 3,000 photos.
That's it?
And, before we move off from the vacation, we'll move away from Disney World, but on the way back, we stopped in New Orleans, and I've never been to New Orleans before, so that was my first time there.
Oh, really?
Did you have fun?
I had a really good time.
Did you go gambling?
No, I don't care for gambling.
Yeah, me either.
Till you do it. Until you do it.
It doesn't appeal to me.
I went to Vegas 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and... I didn't gamble at all.
Exactly, because that's why it doesn't appeal to you. You didn't try it.
I've done it before.
Have you, though? Have you? What'd you do? Slots?
Probably.
That's exactly right.
My father-in-law likes to go to the casinos, so he went. But,
speaking of Disney, we're debating maybe to go later in the year like we did a couple years ago in October.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get some stuff, other things situated first, but I want to do the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party again, and I want to do Food and Wine.
Yeah,
just make a little bit of a long weekend type of trip out of it. Just 4 days and have fun and come back. It'd be fun. I'm looking forward to that. I think October is a good time of year to go.
We were thinking about going to Catherine and I, but I was thinking about maybe going to Disneyland instead.
So you're saying,
yeah,
yeah. Disneyland is cool too. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, like no, it's awesome. It was the first place I've been to, and I only went for one day, so I feel like it won't be fair for us to go.
Has your girlfriend ever been there?
No. Well, I don't know. Maybe. I don't think so.
Okay.
I know she's been to Disney World before we went. That was like her second or third time. And yeah, I would like to go to Disneyland again. Go see Radiator Springs.
It is. Talk about it being immersed into a movie I don't like.
And then,
but it's so amazing.
So what? Star Wars Land is supposed to be open next year.
2019.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, so it's next year now.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm.
Well, yeah.
When I go, it won't be next right. year.
Oh, since the last time I went to Disneyland, there was no Disney California Adventure. So it's been a while.
Wow. It has been a while.
Yeah. And plus, you know, we can do other things besides Disney if we go to California. There ain't really not much to do in Florida besides theme parks.
Yeah, it's true. There's a lot of cool things in California. You got to go on the like movie studio tours. Those are fun.
Yeah, if we go to L.A., yeah. Which more likely will, because she would want to go to Harry Potter World.
Oh, Universal?
Yeah, the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
You got to take her to the Warner Brothers studio. They usually have like a lot of Harry Potter stuff there, too.
Yeah.
On the tour.
I would like to go to the London one. That would be cool.
I want to go to London. Just go to London.
Yeah, that'd be cool too, but...
Yeah. I don't know. Anything else? You guys get good stuff for the holidays? Get any good...
Christmas gifts?
I got my battle jacket.
You both got battle jackets. Now I got to get a battle jacket.
Yours is going to be different than ours, though.
I'm not going to get a battle jacket.
You already got some patches on yours. I'm still working on that.
So I've I'm a veteran metalhead, but I've never had a battle jacket.
Me either.
Until now. And right now I have a Blind Guardian and a Monomarth patch on and a handful of buttons. So
all I got up right now with some buttons. But I got some patches. I just got... Dog making a lot of noise.
Is that your dog?
Yeah.
It sounds like you're farting in the background. Is what it sounds like.
I'm in the process of ordering some patches.
I'm going to be doing that soon.
So I want to get everything together before.
You just had a box full of patches. How many more patches are you going to need?
More.
Okay. I'm telling you, I'm going to buy you guys both like oddball patches.
What do you mean by oddball?
Well, I saw a really cool patch for Dave. That I know he would like. Okay. Now I need to find one for you that I think you would like.
Me.
But you're not going to tell us what they are.
No, it would defeat the purpose of surprising you.
It's
going to
come into our house, steal our jacket, and sew it on.
Sew it on you and sew it on the jacket, and you won't even notice.
Yeah, where did this come from?
Yeah, like, when did that get on
George?
There?
George!
That's cool, though.
Yeah, I got my jacket. I got Wolfenstein 2 and Shadow of War.
Okay.
And I've played like 10 minutes of Wolfenstein. That's all I've had time to do so far.
There's this part in the very beginning of that game. You know what I'm talking about with the dog?
Yeah. Yeah,
God,
I did that
damn
part.
Damn it.
Yeah.
I was like, don't make me do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I mean, we got knickknacks here and there. Our big thing that we got was an Instant Pot. We bought each other.
Instant Pot?
Instant Pot. It's where you grow pot. No.
Mm-hmm.
Instant Pot. We haven't actually opened it yet. It's a food. I'm trying to think with it, like a pressure cooker. It's like a home pressure cooker type of deal. And it's like really simple. You push buttons and cooks everything really quick.
Push buttons and does things.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Is it one of those? I think I've heard of these.
Like a new wave
one
oven?
Of those that.
No. It's more of it's a pressure cooker, but it's just like a consumer pressure cooker. You know.
Okay.
Is it one of those that like connects to your Wi-Fi and you can like turn it on from like elsewhere?
No, that'd be awesome.
That would be nice, huh?
That would be awesome.
Now you wish you had that.
No shit. I'm turning this shit. I haven't even opened it yet.
Return it. Get the Wi-Fi.
Get the Wi-Fi enabled one. Man, I can cook dinner from work.
Yep.
Okay, I'm leaving. Let's click. I'm sure everything's going to be that way pretty soon.
If it's not already.
So our topic for the evening is going to be our 2017 Rewind. We're going to talk about some music. We're going to talk about mostly movies and video games and some TV and that kind of stuff. Just stuff that we enjoyed in the past year or so.
Sure.
So everybody ready?
Let's do it to
All
it.
All right.
Let's say back. Goodbye to 2017.
Fuck off 2017.
Death Star plans are not in the main computer.
Where are those transmissions you intercepted, including those of the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast? I need my weekly dose of sci-fi news with movie and TV reviews and commentary.
We intercepted no transmissions. This is a consular ship.
If this is a consular ship, where is the ambassador?
Sorry, I was indisposed.
I will give it a moment to air out, if you know what I mean.
Who needs the ambassador? I thought I heard someone call out for me. What in the bloody hell did you do to Ramus? Speak up! Which one of those chest buttons calls your supervisor, you imbecile?
Mister. Honestly, he was, like that when we got here. Right, fellas?
Mister, I am an ambassador.
Let me see your identification.
Shut it, Bob. You are as clumsy as you are stupid. He doesn't have to show you your ID.
We don't need to see his identification.
You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Libsyn.com, and Stitcher Radio. The Monster Sci-Fi Show is part of the ESO Network. It's sci-fi from a certain point of view.
All right, so we are going to talk about 2017.
No.
It's our rewind, bitches.
No.
Yes, so we have music, movies, video games, TV, and other various bullshit.
All right.
Let's do film first.
Sure. That's the heaviest subject. Do you really want to do movie first?
Well, yeah, because I don't want to do all of our the metal because and the music because we're going to go really in-depth on MSR cast on that.
That's why I should be first, so you can just kind of scratch over it.
Okay, I guess we can do that.
Top albums, go ahead.
Talk about your top albums.
God, I don't know. I'm always the worst at this stuff.
Is Mastodon on there?
Yeah, probably. Mastodon and then Trivium.
Really?
Yeah, and...
Mastodon is actually on mine, too, but probably not as high as yours.
And then Creator.
Really?
What?
Their last album was 2017,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was surprised, too.
Why? When we played it on the show, I said I liked it.
I know. Oh. Well, you say a lot of things that don't really mean.
What? I don't say things I don't mean. what else did I really like? RTJ3 came out this year. That was good.
RTJ3?
Run the Jewels.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, there we go.
Took me a second to catch up.
You caught it.
I don't know all that hip-hop lingo.
Hip-hop lingo.
You would be unable to outrun the Jewels.
No, it would not.
Speed. It's true.
I liked Meow the Jewels. That was pretty cool.
That was a funny album. It was weird, but fun.
Was it really all with cat noises?
Meow the Jewels? Yeah.
So
they remixed the whole album with cat sounds.
Do you know the band Ailstorm?
Ailstorm? It sounds familiar.
They're a pirate metal band. They put a new album out in 2017. There's a deluxe version of it where they took the same exact album and redubbed it with dog barking.
Okay.
It's pretty damn funny.
In response to Meow the Jewels, probably.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like it works for those rap hip-hop guys.
There's been a couple of heavy metal animal-led bands. Like, remember like Hate Beak was one of them?
Hate Beef?
Hate Beak.
Oh,
it was like a parrot.
I don't remember that.
Oh, God, they were great.
All right. Were they, though?
Not really.
I didn't think so.
But at least as good as Hate Breed?
Probably better.
Okay, thank you.
They're more like Carcass. Carcass was like a parrot singing.
That's weird. Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm sure there's another band that I've written down that I'm not thinking of. But the reason I'm thinking of Creator because I just listened to them like a week ago.
Okay.
That's a really good album. I just like maybe one or two songs I kind of skip. But overall, it's a good album.
It's on my list of albums of the year. It's like number 37.
Huh?
But one of the songs on there is in my top albums of the year. Our top songs.
Is that the playlist you shared with everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Satan is Real. That song's great.
It is a great song.
It's a great song.
It's a good anthem song.
Yeah. It's great live, too.
Oh, I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I went and saw them in... I guess it was like February or March when they played here.
Oh, yeah.
There was like free tickets for it.
Oh, cool.
Through House of Blues.
Yeah, see, I like the thrash metal stuff. That's my speed, yeah. So it makes sense that I would enjoy it. I already said Trivium.
Is there any non-metal? I mean, we can talk about that. What are you into?
I don't know. If it's out, I don't know if it's new or not. Stuff I've been listening to. Most of the stuff I've been listening to is probably not new.
Now, let's move on to Dave here. I know you've been catching up a little bit.
Yeah, a lot of what I'm about to say will probably change between.
But save some of this for the MSR cast.
I will. I'm going to do a very brief overview, I think, because a lot of my opinions are probably going to change between now and the time we do the MSR cast thing.
It's like, oh, I really like this one, but no, I really like this one.
Well, so
same thing happened to me. Mine has changed recently too.
I started 2017 doing a pretty good job of staying on top of all the new releases and all that kind of stuff and making notes about what I liked and all that kind of thing. And then 2017 went completely apeshit crazy for me. I was exceedingly busy.
Yeah, you were.
And so I really fell off. And so after about April, I kind of fell off on what was going on, and so I've been doing a lot of catch up. So that's why I say that my opinions are likely to change between now and then. But stuff that really stood out to me, Pelorian debuted this year, which is the new project of the guy from I'm going to go blank on the name now. God damn it!
Doesn't matter. Keep going.
Oh, it does matter.
It kind of does.
Well, we're just scratching it here.
The guy from Agalloch.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
His new project, and it's a worthy successor. So it fits right in. Good stuff. I really liked the new Satyricon album.
You know, that was a top 10 for Sean the Metal Pigeon too.
Yeah, I thought I knew he.
I don't think I gave it enough.
Highly.
Listen,
it's good. I like it. Let's see, what else has really stood out to me this year? I think that, the Pallbearer was pretty good. I liked that one.
It's on my list.
The self-titled Obituary was surprisingly good. It was better than I expected it to be.
It's on my list, but way further down.
What else? I've listened to a little bit of the new
number 40
Origin.
For me.
A lot of the stuff I haven't really given a lot of time to yet. But probably maybe my album of the year, I'm not sure I'm totally settled on this yet, is Soen, Lykea.
Yeah.
Love that album.
It's a good album.
Really fucking good.
Oh, yeah, I did listen to that. That was okay.
It's Martin Lopez, who used to be the drummer from Opeth.
And Amon Amarth Once Upon a Time.
That's right. He was, wasn't he? I forgot about
that. Way back.
Soen is definitely a different style band. It's very... Opethian in nature.
I describe them to people as they're like what would happen if Opeth and Tool wrote songs for each other.
Yes.
That's what they sound like to me.
That's pretty apt description.
Yeah. Dan Auerbach. I don't know if you guys know who that is. He's the was the frontman of Black Keys. Now does a solo thing. He has a new album that came out this year. I listened to that quite a bit.
Oh, okay. I don't even know if I know any of the Black Keys either.
I know the name, but
because you don't listen to other things besides metal.
That's not true.
Oh, and I don't know how I was
going to... That is not true.
I don't know how I was going to roll right by without mentioning this one. The new Enslaved album is fucking awesome.
Guess where that is on my list out of top 10.
Is it your number one?
No, it's not.
10.
No.
20.
3.
Okay. Actually, it is number 3.
Okay.
Yeah,
you got 25.
It. Yes. After he just said number 3.
18.
Shut up. all right, so I'm not going to spoil everything, but can you guys guess what my number one is? And it might be sitting next to your head somewhere, right next to you.
Funko Pop.
It's not a Funko Pop.
It's not. Is
Hellboy?
Yes, Hellboy is my favorite album of the year. Hellboy Funko Pop is my favorite album of the fucking year. When I'm 65.
Is it the November's Doom?
No.
Is it Iced Earth?
No.
And it's none of those.
I'm looking else. What's new over here? Oh, duh. It's obviously Arion.
It is,
I don't know why I was even considering anything else.
Arion, the Source, is obviously my number one album.
I don't know why I even considered anything besides that. I haven't listened to it yet.
So good. So,
honestly, the only Arion album I've ever listened to all the way through is The Human Equation.
Yep. Which is, that was my starting point from them. And I fucking loved it. But
yeah.
I think there's some really... My favorite parts of the Arion album are, besides his production, his style, It's when Tobias Sammet and Hansi Kirsch are singing together and their vocals are blending into a melody that's never been heard before. Brilliant. It's amazing stuff.
Okay. Yeah, it's in my playlist to listen to. Just I haven't gotten around to it yet. And I also don't have the investment in Arion that you do. I know this That's is like right. one of your favorite bands. I really liked The Human Equation, but what drew me to that one was specifically the guest artist on it. Mm. And that's I know that's like kind of the thing that he does. Is
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that one, his guest lineup on that one was right up my alley. So that's why I checked that one out. And it's good. I enjoyed it. I haven't gone back and checked out more of their work.
I think you would really like this album. It's a concept album, of course, everywhere right. there is. But this is it's like a prequel to the entire Arion storyline.
Okay.
So it's how this race on this planet, the planet was being destroyed, and they had to go find a new place to live, and that's how the storyline progresses from there into the other albums. Even The Human Equation is part of that
okay.
overarching science fiction storyline, because there's one little thing at the very end where it's basically The Human Equation story. It's a memory being implanted into one of the aliens.
Okay.
So it's this huge, big, long, convoluted storyline, but it's, yeah.
Did Iced Earth make it on your list this year?
They did.
I really liked this album.
But it's way... Okay, we can... Like, the top 20, which, of course, we say there's no numbers, but there, of course, is numbers to some of the stuff. It's not even... It's at the very low end of my top 20.
Okay.
It's a great album.
It is really
Much
good.
Better than the last few albums, yeah. for sure. But
I feel like we're really getting, like, the range of Stu Block.
Oh, well, I've always thought he was a phenomenal vocalist.
He won me over... when I saw him live.
Yeah.
And God, he fucking nailed
everything. I used to love Into Eternity, so.
That's who he was. I was trying to remember yeah. the other day who it was that he had been the singer for before. Yeah, this is a good one. I feel like Stu Block really kind of encompasses the whole history of Iced Earth vocalists.
Mm-hmm. No, agreed. Totally agree.
He doesn't quite have the baritone that Matt Barlow did.
He's
really close.
I mean, he can hit that Ripper shit too.
But then he hits the Ripper shit. And yeah, he's good.
He really is.
So
mm-hmm. This is the part of the show where George is going to. I will tell you two new bands, and I'm not going to spoil my top 10 for everything, but two new bands sort of, there's four brand new bands in my top 10.
Okay.
I'll give you Aeternum.
Okay, they're on my list. Haven't listened to it yet.
Ruins of Empires. They can be fucking as brutal as Behemoth, but they have a lot of pan, you know, like a lot of, imagine like Behemoth mixed with like Orphan Land.
Okay. I think I did hear a little bit of this. Like I was telling you before we started, I've made playlists of all yep. the stuff that I missed. And I went to Dallas last weekend to do more yeah. holiday stuff, and all I listened to there and back was everything on shuffle. And what I was looking for was what's going to grab my attention for me that I need to check out.
What
further.
Grabbed your attention on that randomized?
A couple of things. One of the ones that kept surprising me that I'd be driving, and whenever something really caught my ear, I'd pick up my phone and look at
That's
who the artist was.
No,
no, it's not. No.
We don't recommend doing that.
Now all I was doing Speak was looking yourself, at bro. The closed screen. I didn't open anything. I'm not like texting while driving
Skipping
or anything
songs
like
and...
that. Yeah. I'm just looking at what's on. And, one that kept grabbing my ear that surprised me mm-hmm. was Persephone.
Persephone. Yeah.
I think sounds better.
I think
better.
So.
But,
Justin recommended that band
okay.
to me, and I've listened to it a few times, and it's some really good musicianship, but they go a little too metalcore-ish at points.
I think I have a little bit more tolerance for that than you do in some cases. Like, I don't love it, but I feel like I can maybe tolerate some of that better than you can.
Maybe so. I mean, I don't hate that album, but it's just, I don't know, the first time I heard it, there was something on that album that just struck me as like not pleasing, and I haven't gone back to it since then.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I need to give it another shot. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow.
The new Havoc has some really solid thrash metal in there. Fuck.
The new Havoc is really... What I like about it is they're taking chances. They're trying new things. And it reminds me of like early 90s thrash metal.
Yeah.
Where these bands were taking chances and never, not everything was super fast. And there was weird stuff like Annihilator type stuff. Mm-hmm. And
Yeah.
I totally get that from that album.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. And it's just got, it's got that whole attitude.
I think even George would like them.
I think so.
What?
Havoc.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Did I ever tell you the new
Havoc album. Check it out.
Okay. Did I ever tell you my Havoc story?
I don't guess so.
A long time ago when they were first coming out, the very first album.
Yeah, it's a great game.
Havoc?
Yeah.
It's actually a game engine.
I remember it being a game.
Yeah. So they were opening up for Primal Fear.
Also a good game.
Was that a game?
Primal
that was
Rage.
A
movie.
I'm joking, guys.
Primal
Come
Rage.
On.
Primal Fear was a movie, damn it. No, but it was the first time I ever heard him. I really liked him. So the main guy, the singer, was like fucking drunk off his ass by the end of the show.
Thrash metal form.
In true thrash metal form, exactly right. And I went to go buy the album from him, and he gave me way too much change, and I didn't realize it at first. But I went back to him, and I gave him his... I'm like, dude, you gave me way too much money back. And he was like...
I remember this.
Yeah, and he was like, oh, you're my best friend now. You're so cool. Thank you so much. And I interviewed him on their next album run. I told him that story. He's like, I fucking remember that. It was so cool. But yeah, they're
so
really,
shit-faced, but I remember.
Yeah, I remember some dude giving me my money back. Everybody remembers that shit. But what else do you got?
I'm seeing in my notes, I haven't listened to them since I wrote this down, I don't think. But... band I'd never listened to before, but Full of Hell.
I've heard of that recently. I haven't heard that.
They put out like a couple of things this year, apparently.
Oh, wow.
They're like kind of like black and grind, mm-hmm. like real fucking aggressive stuff. But I wrote them down. I need to go back and listen to that again, but I remember being impressed and kind of surprised by it.
Full of Hell?
It sounded Full of Hell. So we kind of got a new Sanctuary album this year.
Yes, we did. The demos from 1986,
mm-hmm.
Sort of remastered. And there's a couple songs that made it to other albums and all that kind of stuff. The first couple of Sanctuary albums, but yeah, with the loss of Worrell Dane.
We haven't talked about it
on the show. I mean,
so
I mean, I guess me and you can talk about it, but.
But yeah, Worrell Dane passed away of a heart attack. What about 2 weeks ago now? I guess
two or 3 weeks ago. Yeah, we pay in the latest episode of MSRcast, we pay a little tribute. We were actually in the process of recording a full tribute episode to him when my computer crapped out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So John fucking Winningham was here and Sean, and we were in the midst of recording, and we had to stop and drink instead.
Hmm.
But. Worrell Dane, let's talk about Worrell real quick since you mentioned this. Worrell was a one-of-a-kind vocalist, man.
Yeah, nobody sounded like him.
And when I did the interview with him on MSRcast, we started talking about the Marvel movies like halfway through the interview.
I think I remember that.
And he's like, and I, after the show, I was talking to him a little bit, and I was like, dude, I got this other podcast called Metal Geeks. He's like, I'm down, dude. Let's do it. And he's like, next time we do a fucking album release, you know, I'm coming on that show. We'll talk about the album, but let's talk about Marvel shit.
Hmm.
And he was super down for it, but it never happened. I feel bad about that, but.
I was introduced to Worrell Dane via Nevermore. I didn't find out about Sanctuary until later.
Go ahead. I'll let you do your story first.
Nevermore was one of those, at that time, it was one of those bands that was like, they were everywhere, and it wasn't quite clicking for me, for whatever reason, and I actually saw Nevermore live like 3 times before it finally clicked for
really?
Me. Yeah, isn't that weird? And I can't really explain why exactly, but there was something about... The way that he does his vocal lines over the style of music that the band is playing that was different enough from anything else that I was used to that it wasn't quite working for me. But I saw them with, I saw Nevermore open for Sabotage. I saw them open for, yeah.
Wow.
That was a cool show.
I would have loved to be that show.
That was the first time I saw them. I saw them open for Demi Borgir, which was another really good show.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
I think I was at that show.
That was.
There's a show here. Who else was In Flames on that show?
No. Hypocrisy, I think, was on that show. And maybe a very young Children of Bodom.
Yes. Yes, you were correct.
Yeah. Okay.
We saw that here at the engine room.
Okay. I saw it in Dallas. I don't remember what club it was in Dallas. I don't remember the name of it now.
The very first time I saw Nevermore, they were touring 98, 99. They were touring. No, must have kind of been the first time. They were touring with Iced Earth in Destiny's End.
Okay.
Not Destiny's Child, George. Destiny's End.
I wasn't going to say anything.
So the first time I ever heard Warhol, Headbangers Ball, man, back in like 80, late 80s.
MTV show?
Yeah.
So like Sanctuary stuff.
The video for Future Tense really got me into them. And then one day I was at the store and I heard about the guy had a new album, new band. So we used to go into like a record store and go, hey, I would like to listen to the CD. And they would pop it open for you and listen to it. And it was a self-titled Nevermore album.
Okay. I was about to ask. I'm like, are we talking, are we Politics of Ecstasy?
No, self-titled. Okay. And I sort of listened to it, like skip through stuff, and I'm like, yep, I'm buying this. This is like amazing. I was with my friend Mark, who we just hung out with the other day, and he didn't quite get him at the time, but he became
a fan. I didn't get it for a little bit, and I remember it wasn't a live setting that won me over. It was an album, and it was Dead Heart in a Dead World.
Oh yeah,
is what finally made it all make sense. And I think that it was because of the really strong melodic nature of that album. The compositions on that album are, I don't want to say that they're better, but they're more accessible, I think.
Yeah.
And once I got that album, then I was able to go and, you know, listen to like Dreaming Neon Black and all that earlier stuff, and it made more sense to me at that point. And then I got to see them live again a couple more times after
that. It feels like Dreaming Neon Black is sort of like their jump-off point for a lot of people, too.
Yeah, and
That's like their most accessible album, you know?
In hindsight, I can see that, too. Like, once I got Dead Heart in a Dead World, once it made sense to me, the next one that made sense was Dreaming Neon Black. So
my favorite, I can't tell you the album, but my favorite EP, it's in the In Memory EP.
Okay.
There's some phenomenal songs on that album. Really,
I haven't
really
listened
good.
To that in age.
In Memory, the song, Matricide, so good. My Nevermore and World Day were one of my wife's favorite bands. So it hit me like it was weird when I found out about his passing. I was sitting in, I was in jury duty, and at one point they were waiting for the judge, and a guy comes out, and he's like, hey, we have free Wi-Fi if everybody wants to go, you know, check their phones, do whatever you want. Soon I turned that Wi-Fi on, got a text from her that he passed.
Wow.
It fucking hit me. I was like, wait, what? I was like, can I tell the judge that I'm in mourning now and get out of it? Yeah, it was a definitely sad moment for, you know. And he was working on a new solo album, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sad. But, everybody go check out Nevermore. Check out the Last Sanctuary album. It's really, really good.
Check out the solo album that he did release, All Praise the War Machine.
Yes.
Fucking great album.
What's it called?
Yeah. Is it All Praise the War Machine or Praises to the War Machine?
Praises to the War Machine, yeah. That's it. In 2008.
Yeah, they did.
Phenomenal album.
I've always liked his covers, and he did Lucretia, My Reflection, which is a Sisters of Mercy song.
Yep.
I fucking love his cover of that. It's great.
Nevermore did the best covers ever.
I think so.
Better than Disturbed.
Yeah, fuck Disturbed. I agree. Like when that video was going around fucking everywhere I could, I was like, fuck y'all, Nevermore did it better.
Hell yeah,
what better?
Sound of Silence.
Oh. Yeah. I didn't know Disturbed made that.
Disturbed did a cover. I don't know when they did it, but
Nevermore
like
did it better.
They fucking did.
No, they definitely did. So really quick, let's talk about
the Depeche Mode song, right?
Huh?
You talking about the Depeche Mode song?
No,
no, Paul Simon and Garfunkel.
Oh, that one.
Which one were you thinking of?
Never mind. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm half asleep at this point.
I do want to say that the new Sorcerer album, phenomenal. Everybody needs to check them out.
I've heard that's good. I haven't. I think I've heard like one song off of it.
The one album I'm gonna leave here with, it's a band called Wolfheart.
I just saw them roll by on my playlist. I don't remember if I've
winterish Finnish mellow death, blackened thrash death, all that good stuff. It
sounds like you're ordering like a fish or something like that.
Blackened fish is good.
I want a mellow blackened fish.
Can I get a mellow death tilapia, please?
Mellow death fresh blackened tilapia.
Wolfheart jumped in my top five. It's that great of an album.
I'll hate it.
You might not. You like Insomnium, right?
Yeah, I do.
So you might actually like this band.
Forgot about that.
So this might be our George Hates Metal
tonight.
Because I want you to hear it.
Okay.
Yeah. Wolves in the Throne Room had a new one this year, and I haven't listened to all of it yet, but what I've listened to is fucking great.
Did you say poop in the throne room?
Wolves in the throne room.
The wolves probably do poop in the throne room, though. You can't take that away from them.
Cut them loose in there. That's what's going
to
happen.
So let's move on to movies real quick.
Okay.
Not real quick, but...
I mean, we did say we're going to scathe by music, and we didn't scathe by music.
No, we did not.
We put lead shoes on that one.
So who wants to go first? I'll start with George.
Me? Why me? You start. You seem like you had something to say.
I don't really have an order for my movies, though.
Neither do I.
I don't have an order, but I do have a favorite. I do have a top pick.
Okay.
I have a top pick as well. It's the movie that I thought about the most this year, and it's the more and more I thought about it, the more I enjoyed it.
What is that?
It's Blade Runner. It's my movie
That's
of the year.
That's my top movie of the year. Fuck yeah.
High five and that.
It's not my top, but it's in my top five.
I fucked that up on purpose.
It's all right. It's okay.
Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah, Blade Runner 2049 was my favorite movie this year by far.
Also,
and it's one of the best science fiction movies I've ever seen.
It's
ever.
The most beautiful movie
It's up
ever.
There with, well, the director who did this one did my other favorite.
Do you think it's better than Valerian? I finally saw that.
Valerian was my biggest disappointment this year.
I saw
year.
That movie finally.
It belongs there, yeah.
That's all I can tell you is I watched it.
Did you, though?
Sort of.
It's just shit.
I was doing other
it's
shit.
It's just, it's polished bullshit. It's what it is.
It's a terrible
what
movie.
I call it? What I call
beautiful
it?
Beautiful disaster.
Beautiful disaster.
It's a 311 song.
That's right, it is, I guess. But it definitely
is deserves that.
It's a deserving title for this movie. It's a beautiful looking movie, but it's a shit movie.
God,
it's
horrible. It's
terrible.
It's
polished turd is what it is.
Bassan's worst movie ever.
Yeah. He should have done
he's done a few clunkers, but this
like
takes
what?
The cake.
What's worse than this?
Well, not worse, but it's up there with it. Is that one he did with Scarlett Johansson?
Salt?
No, not Salt.
No, wait. Salt was the Angelina Jolie one.
The one where she's like, have a sixth sense, quote unquote.
I didn't see that.
And she like becomes like immortal, basically, for whatever reason.
I never saw that one. I know
what
her one
brain.
You're
Lucy.
About.
That's what it's
Lucy,
called.
Lucy, yeah. Okay.
That's right. I knew it was a four letter.
Yeah.
If it's not Fifth Element, it's not good enough for me.
Well, you know, this could have been Fifth Element.
It could have.
And, God, just someone should have, like, told Luke no at some point. Like, stop. Stop it.
Maybe you start at casting?
Yeah. Or not let him direct it. It's probably because I think he was so passionate and so involved with this that he just wanted all the nerdiest shit and just forgot to write a plot along the way.
Maybe.
And it was just a shitty movie.
So, what about you?
That was probably the worst movie of the year.
That was my biggest disappointment of the year was Valerian. My favorite was Blade Runner 2049 as
well. You know what's great about Blade Runner 2049? It's better than the original.
It is. Yeah. I absolutely agree. And it's not going to replace the original as far as like...
It needs the original to succeed, but it goes further than what the original ever did.
It absolutely does. And Val and I talked about this, that it... It is not, this does not fit in the like current trend of like reboots and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, no, nowhere near
it. Because it exists in the same world, but it goes so much further than the original did.
And it wasn't boring.
And it's 3 hours long and it wasn't boring.
Right.
It's 3 hours long and I loved like almost every second of it. And it was beautiful. Like from the first shot, I was like, holy shit, this movie's going to be pretty.
Oh, yeah. It's an eye orgy fest.
And I fucking loved it.
Makes you want to buy a 4K TV just to watch
it. Most definitely, yeah.
I thought about this movie a great deal. Probably the only other movie I've thought about anywhere close to this was Star Wars.
Okay.
Which we can talk
Star
about
Wars is in my top list of movies this year. They're in no specific order, but Blade Runner probably takes the cake if I'm going to pick
easily,
a favorite movie
easily
of the year.
Easily my favorite movie of the year. Like, easily. And like I said, it's better than the original.
Yeah.
But it still feels true to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely respectful of the original and, like, embraces that whole world and just goes deeper. How far can we...
Apparently, there's like 30 minutes still cut from the movie, but we'll never see it.
Oh, man. I'd watch them.
Yeah. Apparently, we're never going to see it.
But great, great storytelling. It's like a cool mystery story. It hits... It really does science fiction well. And this is a proper science fiction movie.
Yeah. Which we haven't had one of those in a long time.
Because
that's not true. Arrival, last year.
Well,
same director, too.
Okay. I haven't watched that yet. It's
Arrival
high on my
amazing.
List. Especially after watching this, I really, really want to watch The Arrival.
Denis Villeneuve knows how to fucking make a movie.
But we don't get a lot of real science fiction movies anymore. We get action movies in science fiction settings.
Yeah.
Which is
schlocky science fiction.
They're fine for what they are, but this is an actual science fiction film, and it's
Agreed.
Fucking great.
I enjoyed it a lot.
So let's move on.
What was your top movie of the year, Carrie?
Top movie? You know what I really enjoyed, and which is something I just saw recently? The Shape of
Boss
Water.
Baby.
No, not The Boss Baby. The Shape of Water.
I
saw
that
recently.
Yet.
Did you like it?
I liked it, but I didn't love it.
It's a
beautiful movie.
Yeah.
I think it's perfect for Guillermo del Toro. My biggest beef, highly predictable. Mm. I saw everything coming before it actually showed up.
Well, that's some weird thing you have.
Is that a deal killer in a movie for you?
Sometimes. If I can read the plot before the actual plot comes around.
Like, I can understand that in a movie that is clearly trying to be, like, surprising and doing twists and turns.
Right.
The Ape Sapien story.
That's not what this is. It's more like Beauty and the Beast, but with a aqua type character.
So, like in a thriller movie where it's really banking on surprises and things like that, I can totally understand it being predictable as being a problem. That's how I felt about Inception. Like, I knew how Inception was going to end 15 minutes into the movie, and I hated it.
Well, I enjoyed Inception because it was unique and different. I hadn't seen a movie like that.
There were definitely some cool sequences in it, but I hated the story. I didn't like the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I liked parts of it, but I didn't like the movie.
You know what? Watching this movie made me feel like I wish that Del Toro would do like a Bioshock movie.
Oh, he did it already. It's called Shape of Water.
Well, I mean, a real, true.
I hope Shape of Water was fantastic. It's a beautiful movie. It's just
that's just it's stuck in my head right now.
The guy who played, what's his name? The villain in that movie.
Oh, Zod.
Yeah, God damn it, what's his name?
I'm going
by Michael Shannon.
Yeah, yes. There you go.
He is fantastic in this movie. Probably the best antagonist in a movie in a long time.
And cool. The dad,
because I like him and I think he's a good villain.
The dad from Step Brothers was great too.
And creepy and awesome.
The dad from Step Brothers is great too. Richard Jenkins.
That the guy with the glasses?
Yeah, the neighbor.
Oh, yes, the gay guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, when I told my girlfriend, Catherine, we were watching a movie, I was like, I bet you he's gay. And like, he did only said one, two words in the line. I was like, oh, he's gay. And that was like a big plot twist for him, at least a character motivation for him to help her.
Right.
And
help her with love.
Yeah,
since he can't have his own love.
Well, I mean, he could, just not in that 1950s
era. That era.
Oh, is it 50s? No, I guess
it looks more of 30s and 40s.
Yeah.
It's the Cold War era.
If it's Cold War era, then it's going to be late 40s, early 50s.
Yeah, so 1950s era,
and forward enough into the 80s, but
so
the reason that I asked if knowing where the plot's going is a deal killer, I agree. In a thriller kind of a movie, that is kind of a deal killer. I agree, but the reason that I brought it up is that one of my favorite movies of the year, and I'm not ranking anything at this point. It was Blade Runner was the top, and everything else is everything else.
Right.
One of my favorite movies this year was predictable, but I loved it anyway.
What movie?
Coco.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Was really good.
Really?
It was beautiful.
It's almost at my top right there.
Really?
I totally agree. Yeah.
God,
did you see it?
I saw it. Yeah, I saw it over the holiday break.
That movie is phenomenal.
Yeah, what's so phenomenal about it?
You must not have a heart,
it's
dude. Just,
it's beautiful.
I have a... Oh, no. It's very beautiful. It's probably the prettiest
but I do
Pixar
agree.
Movie it has
is,
made since Up. And if anything, as far as like look goes, it's probably the prettiest thing they did so far. However, the story's very boring.
It's better than Cars 2.
But this is why I'm bringing this up. Because the story... I know, like... 10 minutes into the movie, I'm like, okay, we know that he thinks this guy is who he thinks he is, but we know that he's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, but we
really,
know he's not.
And we're going to figure that out, and we're going to figure it out in this way, and he's going to turn on him, and we're going to figure out that this other person, like, I saw all of that coming,
right.
But it was all done so well, and it was so, the sentimentality of it was executed so well.
What sentiment?
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
He has no heart.
Dude, I saw this movie the week after my grandma died.
Well, I mean,
it affected me.
When I saw it, I was like, oh, so that's why Carrie was all blubbery about it. It makes sense because, you know, you have a personal attachment to it.
You have no heart, dude.
I don't have a personal attachment to this movie, so I judged it on just character motivations and story and plot. And it just, I don't know, it was just like average, better than average.
Well, we're just shaking our heads.
That's fine. It's okay. It's, you know, to each their own, but Coco is not all that.
I want to go to my next movie, and I really enjoyed The Big Sick.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
Kumail Nanjiani. Yeah.
Nanjiani.
It's on Amazon Prime if you have not seen it.
It was an Amazon movie, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was. We saw it in the theaters to support him. But it's a funny, well-done, heartfelt movie.
And yeah, I've been meaning to watch it. It's on my queue to watch it.
You don't get a lot of those, and Ray Romano's really good in it.
He wrote it with his wife, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, Emily Gordon.
Who, she's in the movie?
She's not in the movie, but her character is.
He didn't direct it, did he? He just wrote it.
No, I don't think he directed it. I know Judd Apatow was involved with it.
Well, because he
don't remember who directed it, though. But if you have Amazon Prime, go. It's on there to watch.
It's on my list to watch, along with a few other movies.
Not Boss Baby.
No, not Boss Baby.
So this has kind of been a running joke this show, because prior to recording, I mentioned that while we were in New Orleans, I watched it with my kids in our like Airbnb that we were staying at, and that I was surprised at how good it was. Like it was surprisingly
funny. My girlfriend somewhere, if she's listening to this episode, she's like, "Yep." Uh-huh. I told
you. It's surprisingly good. Like, it was way better than I thought it was going
to
be.
Don't get me wrong. I want to see it. I probably will watch it because it's on Netflix, and I will watch it there.
Because it's just there, huh?
Because it's there, and I can, and it's easy.
Jesus.
I like
cartoons. Value your entertainment, sir. You need to value your entertainment.
I do value my entertainment a lot. Let's move on. What else? What about you, Dave?
Yeah, the top movies. Here, I'll throw kind of a left turn on this one. Oh. The Void.
Wow.
Did that come out this year?
It did.
I thought it came out last year.
It got full release this year.
Oh, okay.
It was like festival release last year.
Because I saw it last year.
I checked because I wanted to include it on my list.
it's a good movie. Sure. Yeah.
I liked it a lot.
It was a Kickstarter movie, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just pretty cool.
I haven't seen that yet.
It's good. It's like a good B movie.
Yes. Yeah, it's a B movie that's really well done.
With like Lovecraftian stuff.
Okay.
It's
I wonder why you like it.
Yeah, it's Lovecraftian, it's John Carpenter,
I just wish there would have been more of the...
It's Clive Barker, it's a little bit all of these things.
Okay.
And I wanted more of the cult that they showed.
I did too.
But, they were like the big poster of it, you know, they were like fronting it up, like it was just like this big cult thing that never happened.
I mean, I'm not going to judge the movie for what it is based on what I wanted out of it instead of what I got. I'm just going to try to like judge it on what it was.
That's a good way to go about it.
And
that's how I judged Star Wars after a while, because I was upset when I first saw it, but more and more I thought about it. I was like,
we'll get there.
It's not
because there's a lot to unpack there that we haven't talked about yet.
But we're not going to be able to do a whole episode.
I know.
We could do a whole episode.
We'll briefly talk about it.
Yeah.
But Yeah, The Void is, if you're a horror fan, watch The Void. It should be available on Netflix.
It's definitely fun
where I watch it. It's fun to watch.
It was on Netflix?
It's on Netflix.
That's where I watched it. It's
you can watch it after you watch Boss Baby.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a palate cleanser.
It's tons of, like, practical effects.
Yeah, they do a lot of practical effects, which is why I really enjoyed.
Yeah. Okay.
Ending's weird.
It is very weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For time constraints, I'm going to go down the rest of my list here. Thor Ragnarok was one of my favorites.
Haven't seen that yet.
Didn't even break my top 10 of favorite movies this year.
Of course I didn't. Baby Driver.
That was on my list.
It is on my list.
Logan.
Haven't seen that yet.
That is on my list. That's probably my number two, right under... if you have HBO, it's on HBO right now.
I think a friend's copy of the Blu-ray is in my house. I just haven't watched it yet.
There's a version on there if you have a copy of it. That's a... Logan Noir. It's
the black and white.
Because the director wanted to make it in black and white, but they wouldn't.
That'd be cool.
I really enjoyed Spider-Man Homecoming.
That's on there, but that's an honorable mention. Yeah, it's honorable mention.
The Disaster Artist.
Haven't seen that.
I saw it recently. Didn't care for it.
You didn't care for it? I thought it was funny.
I thought it was funny at parts. The only parts that were funny were the parts where they were making fun of the actual movie. A whole movie shouldn't bank on someone else's movie.
Well, that's basically what this movie is.
No, it's about the character Tommy Wiseau trying to make the movie. It's kind of like Ed Wood. You ever seen Ed Wood?
I've seen Ed Wood.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that movie was about Ed Wood, not about his movies.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this movie should have been about.
It should have been about Ed Wood.
Yep, that's exactly right. They should have had Johnny Depp reprise his role as Ed Wood.
I'm sure he
even
would
though
have,
he
too.
Died way before this movie came out.
I'm sure he probably would have. we've already mentioned Coco. I'm going to say War for the Planet of the Apes.
That's in right underneath Logan for me.
And I don't know. I have a couple that are sort of honorable mentions.
Sure.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2 wasn't as good as the first one, but
it's probably just as good as Thor Ragnarok.
I disagree on that one.
That was in kind of my didn't quite make the top cut list as well. I enjoyed it.
Alien Covenant.
Alien Covenant
was one of the worst
mine.
Movies of the year.
It was not.
Yes, it was.
No.
I liked Alien Covenant. So this one is still kind of honorable mention territory, but mm-hmm. I finally just saw it recently and really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Kong Skull Island.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was a shit ton of fun.
I have two movies on my list that are just called Just for Fun.
Uh-huh.
Kong Skull Island and Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle.
I haven't seen Jumanji yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen Jumanji
yet either. It's a fun, great movie.
It's killing in the box office right now.
It's really well made, and everybody in there is like firing on all cylinders. It's just really funny.
Well, they got like
movie.
Three of the biggest comedy acts in there. So.
Yeah, it's great because like you know the story like there's these teenagers that find the game, and they get pulled into the game. And there's a lot of video game references in the game. Like, they meet up with, like, NPCs, and they're glitching and stuff. I mean, there's a lot of in-jokes, but the character that Jack Black plays...
plays a teenage girl, yeah, in a middle-aged body, which is funny.
Yeah, it is... The concept of that is hysterical, and the way he portrays her... Yeah.
Kevin
Hart plays himself, basically.
Well, Kevin Hart does that because he can't do anything else.
No,
is
not
the problem.
Really. And The Rock
He plays off of The Rock well, which is why he got
they
casted.
They do, yeah. And The Rock plays a character who, in real life, the teenage version is like a real big geek.
The nerd.
Which
The Rock was a nerd.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
he probably still is a nerd.
I mean, probably.
Just a muscled out nerd.
That happens.
Yeah, it does.
I
definitely recommend going to see Jumanji, though. Trust me.
Kong Skull Island, it's not a great movie by any... By any imagination,
but
it's
so
fun. It's so fun.
And like
stupid but fun.
It's really dumb, but God, it was
and
a lot of
pretty.
Fun to watch.
There's a lot of pretty shots in that movie.
God, some of the shots were like way off in the distance, like the sun setting and Kong stands up out of the landscape.
Yeah.
Like, oh shit, he looks badass.
You could tell the major influence for this was like Apocalypse Now and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
But I had a lot of fun watching it. And
John Goodman and Samuel Jackson and it were fucking fantastic to see together. And John C. Reilly was probably stole the show.
Oh, he made the movie.
If he wasn't in it, it would have been a shit movie.
It would have been terrible.
Right.
We saw this on the cruise, actually.
He was like, man, you motherfucker's going to die now.
Well, we saw it before. But we watched it again on the cruise. We're sitting out in the middle of the ocean at night on the screen. It's a great movie for that.
Fun movie.
So it was Pirates.
Another fun movie that I didn't think I would like it, but Catherine made me watch it. Mm-hmm. So we watched
Boss Baby?
No, it wasn't Boss Baby. It was the almost close to the equivalent, Captain Underpants, the movie.
Okay.
I didn't think it would be good by any stretch of the imagination, but it's pretty funny. It's a kid's movie that's...
Is it better than the Emoji Movie?
I only saw the last 10 minutes of the Emoji Movie, and did it's it god your, awful.
Did you have a sad emoji after you saw that?
No, I didn't have any emoji. I was dead inside is what it was after that.
Wow.
Another movie that y'all guys probably haven't talked about or will talk about anytime soon is I, Tonya. Is it the Tonya Harding movie with Margot Robbie?
Did you see that?
I saw that. I had an advanced screening, too.
Oh, okay.
And it was fucking good. Probably,
I heard Margot Robbie is really good in that movie.
Everybody in that movie is fantastic. Everybody involved in that movie, it's funny, it's sharp, it's dramatic. It's one of the better biographic type movies I've seen in a long while. And what makes it interesting is that they're all told from different points of views. So you hearing all different sides of the story, and none of them really match up. Because there'll be points where they'll break the fourth wall, and they'll turn to you and like, this didn't happen as I'm shooting the gun. And they shoot the gun.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's weird, but it's really good.
So you know what I did? I did watch a couple movies over the holiday that I rented. I saw Logan Lucky.
I wanted to see that.
It's a redneck Ocean's 11 because it's directed by Steven Soderbergh.
Steven Soderbergh. It looked like a redneck.
It's a funny movie.
Kylo Ren's in it, too.
Yeah.
With Kylo a Ren. Missing arm.
That's right, missing arm. It's a really funny movie.
James Bond's in it?
Yeah, what's his name? I can't even say
Daniel
right now.
Craig.
Daniel Craig. He's so funny in that role. Totally
Channing
different.
Channing Tatum probably fits right in because he's a stupid Southerner. So
pretty much. I mean, it's a well-done movie. It's funny. And I also saw Dunkirk.
Oh, that was good.
I liked it, but I didn't love it.
Yeah, I
thought it was going to be
awesome.
I don't know. I don't know if I had different expectations going into it. Maybe
you weren't expecting Interstellar, but you didn't get Interstellar.
No, not really. I was expecting more of a war movie.
It was a war movie.
I know, but it was more of like the rescue. And it wasn't...
It's about the surviving of a war movie.
Yeah, but I was expecting more actual combat and I don't know.
You wanted more bang, bang,
yeah,
boom.
Bang, bang, shoot, shoot, yeah.
Yeah, you but wanted more Tom Hanks saving Private Ryan.
There wasn't enough pew-pew. Yeah, that's what I was looking for. I mean, I liked it. It was a good movie, but...
I think the editing of it and the music in it's fantastic. I like the storyline of the kid on the boat who kept on trying to get on the boat.
Yeah.
I liked his storyline more than the other two that they tell in the movie. Yeah.
And I think if I saw this in the theater, I might have had a different experience because I watched it at home.
Yeah, it was like I saw it in the 70 millimeter print that they had. And it was pretty cool. I mean, I liked it. I just didn't love it.
Anything else for you, Dave? Any other movies?
I'm going to throw another kind of fun honorable mention one in here, and then we'll say a couple others. Lego Batman.
That's on my list.
Dude, that's
awesome.
Also on my top of the list. It's way better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it was surprisingly, like, I knew it was going to be funny.
He's the best Batman ever, I gotta say.
It's probably the best Batman movie ever.
This was a better Batman movie than we've gotten from a real Batman movie in some time now.
Oh, you're not wrong by any stretch of the imagination. That's what's bad about it.
Will Arnett is the best Batman. I'm sorry.
I don't know if I'm going to go that far.
I don't know.
It's pretty fucking good.
Will Arnett, Adam West. Then we got, who else? Who would be number three?
Val Kilmer.
I was thinking
Christian
more.
Bale.
Christian Bale's pretty good.
Christian
Bale's
maybe number four for me, maybe.
Really? I'm surprised nobody talked about Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman was on my list.
I haven't seen it yet. I bought it. I still haven't watched it. I tried watching it, and I fell asleep 10 minutes into it.
It's on my list.
It's a great movie, except I'm not a big fan of the end of the movie, the fight scene.
Because it goes very DC Warner Brother.
Yeah, it does.
It does. I agree that the final fight scene lacked...
Punch.
That's what I was going to say, too.
Yeah.
Which is a weird way to put it, but it
did. They're punching each other.
But it lacked resonance.
Yes.
It didn't feel...
It felt forced. It was just, we have to throw this kind of bang fight into the movie, so how can we do that?
So the movie doesn't end in World War One.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah.
So what are you talking about? Well, I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
When you watch it, you'll know. We're not going to spoil it.
Like, what, does, like, a big god show up and...
No.
All right.
You'll find out.
Okay.
So, yeah, that was on my list. I enjoyed it a lot. It was a good DC movie
which is very rare
unlike
to say.
Justice League.
Uh-huh.
Have y'all seen Justice
League? I did see
League?
Justice
I did
League.
Not. I didn't even care to be
I don't,
honest
I don't
with
care
you.
To either. I mean, I will watch it eventually.
There are parts of it that were good.
I'll see it on TV.
But, yeah.
Same.
Wonder Woman in it is great.
It's on my list.
Another honorable mention.
It is on my list, too.
That y'all
I really
didn't
enjoyed
talk about.
It. What's that?
Free Fire, which is like it's a shoot 'em up that takes place in the 70s. It's on Amazon now. Directed by Ben Wheatley, has the guy from Lone Ranger in it.
Okay.
Armie Hammer.
Armie Hammer. Yeah, thank you. And
cleaning product.
The
cleaning
guy
product. Armie Hammer. Yeah, Armie Hammer.
The guy from District 9. What's his name? The Australian guy.
Colty or
Sharlto Copley.
Yeah,
he's not American. Australian. He's South African.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's just a hour and a half shoot 'em up. Like
I saw the preview, I never
watched
it.
These guys are in a room, something goes wrong, and they're all just shooting each other to shit.
It reminds me of like
fun.
It sounds like a Tarantino movie.
It's not
movie.
A good movie, but it's fun to watch.
That sounds fun.
It sounds like a Tarantino
and, like,
movie.
And you never really feel lost in the action, which is
a
feat.
Is that a good assessment? Does it feel like a Tarantino movie?
No, not really.
It
although,
feels like something he would do.
Although, there was a movie I watched recently. Oh, The Murder on Oriental Express. Did we talk about this on the show?
I haven't seen it yet.
We talked about it.
Yeah. The whole entire time I watched it, I kept on thinking about, like, what if Tarantino made this? It would have been so much better. Now he's doing a Star Trek movie.
I remember we talked about it because...
Isn't that weird?
It's a little weird.
You were talking about how good the performances from the cast were.
Right.
But Kevin Branagh shouldn't direct.
No, he shouldn't. He should stop directing is what he should do. He should just act and do that.
What about Nobody Has Get Out on their list?
That's also...
I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's so
I imagine
good.
If I'd seen it, it would have been on my list. Cause
yeah,
I've heard
it's very good.
I've heard about it.
That's not a predictable movie.
More times I watch it, the more I like it.
And I've only seen it once. I need to watch it again.
It's on TV all the time.
Yeah.
So
is it?
No. I have
on
seen
HBO,
it.
On HBO, yeah.
I'll need to set it to record,
we saw it about a month ago. Maybe you saw maybe like from like the third part, the like third of the movie in and then to the end.
I really liked Get Out. It was really good. Hopefully,
Jordan Peele is.
Yeah, this is not just like a flash in the pan for Jordan Peele. No. Hopefully, he can churn something else out just good.
Leaving Key in the dust.
Doesn't he already have another project?
He's supposed to be working on the
Outer
Kira movie.
Isn't he doing like a TV?
He's doing
Outer
a
Limits?
TV series.
No, Twilight Zone.
He's like one
that's
of the.
That's right.
He's one of the main producers on.
Is that okay?
Right.
My Disney mind went Twilight Zone. I can't think of Twilight Tower of Terror. No, Twilight Zone.
Nope,
Tower
nope,
of Terror.
Not that one. There it is.
There it is.
That's right. I'm interested. I'm a big Twilight Zone fan, so I'm curious about that. I hope it's good.
Actually, on my list, I have a list of movies I need to watch, and Free Fire is on my list.
It's a good movie. It's on Amazon, so if you have Amazon Prime, you can check it out.
So is The Florida Project. I want to see that.
Is that on Amazon already?
I don't think so. It's just out in the theaters.
That's the same guy that made Tangerine.
Which one?
Tangerine, the movie that was shot on an iPhone a couple of years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, same guy. And William Dafoe's in it.
Yeah. And it takes place like of some guy living in a hotel like right outside Disney.
Well, he lives in Florida, like the trashy part of Florida.
Which is right outside Disney. you want me to talk about any TV shows that you enjoyed this year?
TV shows that I
so
enjoyed.
So we're going to leave the Star Wars-sized elephant out of the room at this point then.
See Star Wars?
We can talk about Star Wars real quick. I will say I liked it
I've been
a
dreading
lot.
This movie. What?
I liked it a lot. However, there are some major story issues.
Yes.
It felt like... If Rian Johnson took the time to do another draft, it would have been better.
Okay, so here, the first time I saw it on opening
night. Definitely one of the best Star Wars movies.
The first time I saw it on opening night, I cannot believe you said that.
What?
I was afraid that you're going to hate this movie.
It's one of the best Star Wars movies ever made.
It is.
It's probably the third best Star Wars movie ever made.
It's got problems.
Yeah.
I agree with you. And that was my feeling watching it. It was. Some of this didn't work, and I have some specific things that didn't work, but...
We can do a whole episode on that, actually.
We could.
I think next time we will.
But...
Fixing the problems of Star Wars.
That once it was over, I enjoyed it. Like, I had a lot of fun.
It was a fun ride.
I enjoyed the movie. There were a few things I had problems with. But then once it was over and I went away, I kept thinking about it, and the more I think about this movie, the more I like it, and the more I think it is one of the most important Star Wars movies.
Because it's so different.
It's
and
so different.
It showed us so many new things that we've never seen in a Star Wars movie. That's what I loved about it the most.
I think the fact that this has been such a polarizing movie speaks to the fact that something important might be happening.
And I think, you know, the polarizing part of it?
No, because and the reason why is that we're balls deep in remake and nostalgia grab culture.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And they did something different. That.
Did something brand new.
I think the problem, and this is just my opinion, I think the reason why people probably had such a big problem with this movie is that they all went in wanting to see one thing. Mm-hmm. And they didn't get that one thing.
No, yeah.
That one thing that they wanted in the first like 20 minutes of the movie, Ryan went, fuck, that's out.
But no, listen.
That's out too.
If they got what they wanted,
they'd have bitched about it.
They would have bitched about it and not enjoyed it.
Yeah, they would have called it predictable but entertaining.
They would have called it just a rehash of what they'd done before.
Right, which is exactly what Force Awakens was.
Yeah.
But Force Awakens needed to be that. Yeah. It needed to be that rehash.
That's what's really interesting about what's going on in this trilogy right now, is Force Awakens was New Hope all over again.
Sort of.
It's not...
It's like New Hope mixed with Empire.
It's not like, you know, beat for beat, but there's a lot of...
Oh, it's...
There's a lot of similarities.
It's a soft reboot.
And it was full of that nostalgia, let's feel good about Star Wars, let's everybody get excited, because it was exciting.
Right.
It was, you know, you're amped about it. Well, now, they're actually exploring some issues in the Star Wars universe that need to be fucking looked at. And that's awesome.
I kind of feel like Rian Johnson grabbed all the Star Wars toys and like went like smashed them together really hard and broke some of them and handed them back to Jay. He's like, "All right, fix it."
So but what he's done though is because a lot of people who are upset are like Rian Johnson has ruined the legacy of Star Wars.
No. Oh, not over. Even
and
close.
It's like, no. He loves this.
Oh yeah,
and
he's a fan.
Tell
yeah,
because
he just wanted to do a good movie.
The changes, like, and it's not even changes. They're not changing the universe. They're following concepts in the universe to their like logical conclusion.
Right,
and it's like he's actually dealing with that. And I thought that like what they did with Luke Skywalker was incredible.
Right,
that like.
Although I was kind of upset with what they did at the end. But yes, it was incredible.
He went out the same way that Obi-Wan went out.
Not really.
No, he didn't.
I think so.
No, he didn't. He teleported himself from like a light years away.
Well, yeah, but Obi-Wan died the same way. The way the Jedi...
Right. That would have been nice bookends had he actually been on the planet, but he wasn't. And that's probably... That's one of my bigger hang-ups.
But he said he would never leave.
He shouldn't have been.
Yeah, he said he was never going to leave that planet.
I don't think he should have been there.
I think he should have been.
I think
that would have been a good send-off.
I think that this was better because, one, he has committed himself to this exile, but that's not even one of major points. To me, he is... He is in a difficult emotional and spiritual spot, but strategically, he doesn't know that he can defeat Kylo Ren.
He doesn't have to.
Right. He doesn't.
He did
have
it to fuck with Kylo Ren too.
But what did he say to Kylo Ren? He said, "If you kill me, you will never be rid of me." And he wasn't threatening him. He was trying to impart some teacherly wisdom to him.
Yeah.
That if you strike me down, I will haunt you in your own mind forever.
Just like his dad does.
Right.
Right.
So, he's by not...
That's why he didn't kill
Leia. By not being there, he was able to save the day. He was the hero. He showed up and did what everybody wanted him to do. Show up and be fucking awesome. But he didn't really do it because he didn't know... that he could actually beat Kylo Ren. He's scared of him.
That makes sense.
So don't show up. Don't win the fight. Outsmart the fight. It's be above it. It made complete sense to me.
I mean, I got it when I saw it. I just wanted like Luke Skywalker to fucking flex his force muscles I wanted.
And how is it not flexing
but
your force
muscles?
But
like I wanted to see more, I guess. Like the battle on Crete is what it's called. Battle of Crete should have been a little bit more involved than what we actually saw in the movie, in my opinion.
I felt like
we got cheapened on the Battle of Crete.
I don't think so.
It was okay. I was expecting more out of it because of how prominently the imagery was featured in
exactly.
the trailers.
Like, I thought we were going to get like a Hoth-like battle on Crete, which we didn't. We got a, let's charge them. Oh, fuck, we can't win. Let's go away. And that's all they really did.
So, and the other thing that Luke has done by defeating him in this way is he's not just saved the Resistance. He's not just also saved Kylo Ren, but he's also compromised the First Order, because now the whole command structure of the First Order watched their new Supreme Leader fuck up royal because they were about to destroy the Resistance. They had him. Like, there was nothing they could do. They were fucked. They were all going to die. Kylo Ren's hubris cost them, and everybody saw it.
His emo came out, and he's like, well, we got to fight him.
And that was another sticking point I had on this movie, is that they couldn't land on where Kylo Ren was going to end up. Like, is he really going to go neutral, chaotic neutral, or is he just going to be full-on bad guy? And I don't like him as a full-on bad guy, because it doesn't make sense character-wise.
Because he's not going to end there. I think we...
But the movie ended on such a... with such finality. Like, if there's not another saga-type Star Wars movie, this would have been a perfect... like, a good way out. For me, at least. Like, if this was, like, the last Star Wars movie ever, I'd be like, oh, okay.
But we already know going into it that there is going to be another one.
Yes, unfortunately. You should think about it as a movie on its own merits.
Why? Why, when we know that this is a story in three parts? That's like saying that you should read Fellowship of the Ring and Two Towers and just not read Return of the King. Because
I didn't say not read it. I'm just saying think about
it. That's not right. That's not the way to do it.
But you know going into this that this is a story in three parts. So you should expect that the story is not going to be done.
Well, he's not. And Rian Johnson's not coming back, so the same story is not going to apply.
Well, but J.J. Abrams is going to pick up from what he was doing.
And
it's like the same way Rian Johnson picked up from J.J. Abrams.
And fucking blew it all up in a matter of minutes.
And well, it's not like J.J. Abrams came in and was like, here's my vision and this is just what we're going to do. And then he was done and Rian Johnson came in. Well, this is my vision. Like, there's a whole other like creative team of people around these guys that are all working together.
Kathleen
Kennedy has final say.
Which I felt like they kind of like, Rian, do whatever you want. No. I kind of felt like they really took a step back on this movie.
I don't think so.
But I think they did. Because if you think about how much they put their thumb down on the Han Solo and Rogue One movie, it's impressive on how much they didn't put their thumb down on this movie.
You don't know. I don't know. They might have.
Right. They might have. I don't know if they did or not.
And that also makes me think why there's another draft of this movie that could have been made more tighter. Because there's sloppy parts in
this. There are sloppy parts in it.
Apparently there's another half an hour of footage somewhere too.
Yeah,
that's we're gonna get on Blu-ray eventually.
Like it won't be a director's cut. It'll just be like deleted footage,
right? Because that's how they do things.
Right.
But J.J. Abrams was still involved in this movie, though.
Sort of.
But my point is that each of these people aren't making these movies in a vacuum. They all kind of know where this is going, and we've all known. I'm pretty sure. Since Force Awakens, that Kylo Ren is not going to end as a bad guy. He may not end as a good guy, but something's going...
I wanted him to become like a terrorist, is what I was kind of hoping for.
Well,
like...
but he might at this point, because now he's humiliated. Now Hux has all the reason in the world to circumvent any power he might have.
But no one can battle him, though. He outpowers him.
Not if you have an entire army.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
All right. So,
all right. We can't keep on. We'll go on forever if we talked about it.
Sum up, The Last Jedi has problems, but it's one of the most important Star Wars movies ever.
Where would you rank it?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
But it's high. It's up there.
I think it comes right after Return for me.
So, New Hope, Empire, Return?
No, Empire, Return, this. New Hope will come later.
I'm not sure I completely agree with that lineup, but it would be high up for me.
So when I first saw the movie, the Thursday night preview that I went to, I walked out not knowing how I felt about this movie.
Wow.
And it took
days. You
were
conflicted, huh?
I was conflicted. Like the dark side was pulling me in a different way. But we went the day after Christmas. We were supposed to go see Christmas morning, but we had to move that. After walking out the second time, I got it.
I haven't seen it a second time yet. I really want to.
Yeah, I've seen it once too.
I really got the movie after the second time I saw it. The first time I I don't know if I was, you know, wasn't that I was expecting something different or anything along those lines. It's just, I felt weird after I watched it, you know? I was like, what did I just see? It wasn't.
Well, there's a lot to unpack in this movie.
There really is. And I got there, and a lot of my appreciation for it, like, I enjoyed it while I was watching it, but a lot of my appreciation for it came from, honestly, from fighting on the internet about it. Because I think it's hilarious that this movie has pissed so many people off.
It's surprising how much it pissed people off.
I think
off.
It's surprising, too, but I also find some humor in it.
All the tropes that a Star Wars movie would enjoy, and then some.
I thought George was going to fucking hate this movie, and I was dreading talking about it.
Why?
Tracily. Because it seems like something you would hate.
No. Besides, like, some sloppy story problems, it's a pretty decent movie.
And those kinds of things,
That's me nitpicking.
When people throw out, like, you know, sloppy storyline and cheesy acting and bad dialogue, I'm like, hello, Star Wars movie.
Right. I've never seen a Star Wars movie.
Let's dismiss those concerns out of hat.
Although, Empire's pretty tight, man.
Because they got an actual director to direct
it. That's very true. You're not wrong about that.
That Irving Kirshner.
But a lot of my appreciation for this movie came out of these internet debates that I was having, because somebody would raise an issue that I disagreed with, and in exploring my own rebuttal to them, I was like, oh, yeah, that was, like, I'm making these connections as I think about it. And the more I think about the movie, the more I like it, and there's so much to unpack in there. There's so many things that they did in this movie that are making actual progress in the Star Wars universe, and it's great.
Let's talk about this more.
There's plenty more to talk about.
There is.
We should do an outing and go see it all together.
Let's do it.
Okay,
I'm down for it. We'll make a Metal Geeks outing. So, were there any movie or TV shows? I'm sorry, this year that I enjoyed.
New TV shows.
Yeah. You can talk about.
I mean, Game of Thrones is really
good. Game of Thrones is on my list. That's true.
The season finale of. God, I'm having a brain fart now. Leftovers.
I haven't never watched that show.
The season finale of Leftovers was pretty damn good.
Still a lot, that's one of the shows on my I want to watch list. Which is longer than the shows that I do watch.
It's only three seasons.
I know.
It's 10 episodes on each season. I'm sure there's other shows that I'm not thinking of that I'm liked.
What about you?
I don't watch a lot of current TV generally. I'll say Stranger Things 2 was a lot of fun. It wasn't as good as the first season, but I liked it a lot.
Another show totally of sloppy agree. Problems.
It had some, but I felt like so the first season worked really well because of the viewer's relationship with the mystery was the same as the characters. The characters don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going on. And we're all kind of doing this together. Mm-hmm. And that was a lot of what really worked well for the first season.
Right.
At this point, we already know too much to have that feeling again.
Right.
So instead, I felt like this season they emphasized a lot more on the characters, which was the right move.
It was the right move. Yeah. I just feel like, some of the side stories that we got with Eleven was unnecessary for this season.
There were some threads that I didn't quite get why they were there.
Like, so early. Like, this is something that they're leading it up for next season, obviously.
Right.
And it just felt like we got it too early. Well,
like the new kids. What the hell?
Like, so there is obviously going to be like an X-Men type plot line there. Where, you know, X-Force versus the New Mutants kind of deal.
That's
so
cool, though.
There's stuff like that in here that, like, I can tell it's only there because they're planning to do something else later with
right.
it.
Either next season or a spinoff or something.
I think probably next season.
They only got two seasons of material left anyway.
And to me, that's good. I like when a show knows where the end is.
Right.
I think that's a good thing. So that was good. I always talk about Steven Universe, so same old stuff for Steven Universe. Still good.
Oh, the new DuckTales reboot.
Yes,
dude, awesome.
I've only seen the pilot.
It is so good,
and the pilot was excellent.
The pilot with Launchpad.
I didn't think I was gonna like it, but goddamn, did I love it!
Yeah, it was way better than I was expecting. Just from the pilot, because that's all I've seen. But it was way better than I was expecting.
You should get the Disney Now app, and you can watch all of them.
Are they all on there?
Yeah.
Okay. Because what happened was when I set the pilot to record... that's fucking dumb. when I set the pilot to record, I thought it was also set up to record the whole series.
Right.
So by the time I realized that that wasn't the case, it was already like a bunch of episodes in.
Gotcha.
I would definitely agree with DuckTales. I've been watching the second season of Trollhunters.
I haven't watched that yet. I really want
to. Good. I like that show a lot.
The first season was really good.
I got the book. I guess the young adult book or whatever.
Is it one book or two?
It's just one book. Yeah. I've really been getting into Marvel's Runaways, but I like the comic book series a lot.
I don't have Hulu, so I don't have a way to watch it.
It's done really, really well. It's, they've taken a little bit of liberties here and there with the story plot, but it's, you know, taking making a TV series about basically a bunch of teenagers and not making it overly, you know, teenage drama, which there is some, but I think it's really well done.
Speaking of online shows, Jean-Claude Van Johnson.
I haven't seen that yet.
Holy fuck. I watched the pilot last year.
On the pilot season?
Just watch it from beginning to end. Yeah. It's so fucking funny.
I need to watch that. I had Legion on my list.
Oh, that was good. I really liked that. Yeah.
I need to check that
out.
It's
very trippy, though.
The Good Place, that show in the second season is taking turns.
I've only seen season one on Netflix.
Okay.
So I don't know where season two is going to go. Where it ended that she was bad the whole entire time, that's where it ended for me.
But she was bad?
Yeah.
Yeah. They take it some strange places in season two.
Ted Danson's great. Really, he's probably my favorite thing about the show.
Yeah.
You would like that
I don't want to steal spoil anything for you on that show, but...
That's okay.
Go ahead. I think you would like that show, actually.
What was the name of it?
The Good Place.
Okay.
It's a really funny show. But
short too.
Yeah, it's not the first season on Netflix, isn't it?
Yeah, like 20-minute episodes or something like that.
I will also say that American Horror Story had one of their best seasons this year.
I haven't watched that since like the first season.
I've never watched it.
It's kind of a guilty pleasure kind of a thing, like because they always have problems. Every season just about has problems, but generally they're fun enough. They did almost lose me for a little while on Hotel, which was
Lady Gaga.
Yeah, and it wasn't even her. Like, actually, I was expecting her to do a good job, and she did. She did a good job, but it was just the material that she was given was
not much to work with.
Not much to work with, but. I'm glad I followed through and finished that one up because it actually had one of the better endings of any season of American Horror. They tend to have a problem finishing things up.
Like, gotcha.
They have these really fun ideas that they start exploring.
Go nowhere.
And then they figure out, oh, we don't know what to do to finish the story up. So this one didn't have a great ending, but it had a better ending than they usually have. But this one was all this was the cult season.
Okay.
So do you know how the show works, though? Like,
it's like a new season's a new story.
Every season is its own contained story, but all the stories happen in the same universe, and sometimes the stories cross. Some of the characters will cross from time to time.
Yeah.
But also each season deals with a different set of horror tropes, right? So like the first season is the haunted house, but it also deals with a couple of other tropes.
Okay.
And then the second one was the insane asylum, and that one had fucking everything. They threw fucking everything in that season. It's one of my favorites. But it's like the insane asylum, and there's like aliens and like evil like mad scientist Nazis, and like they run the fucking gamut in that one.
Okay.
So like each season,
it's kind of like they're just spinning the wheel. What we got this week, Johnny?
Kind of. But each season deals with different tropes in that way, and this one was cults.
Right.
And I felt like this one had a more solid idea from the get-go that, like, we know what we're doing with this one. Like I said, it didn't... The ending was better than a lot of them. It still had problems. But overall, I felt like it was a really well-written season and enjoyable. And, fucked up shit happens. And I felt like it did a good job of kind of exploring what it was meant to get into the idea of what makes a cult leader and what makes cult followers. And it was also very political. It was very timely because the whole thing kicks off on election night.
There you go.
Oh, and, wow.
And the fact that Trump is elected president factors into
everything certain, in the show.
No. Not everything, but it is it's actually the driving force for the main character.
Okay.
So we're running really long here, so let's briefly just talk about video games real quick. I know you only played Wolfenstein 2 for like 15 minutes.
Right.
We'll skip over you.
So I don't have anything useful to contribute for video games.
Wolfenstein
2
is probably your number one pick of the year, right?
It's my only pick of the year. The 15 minutes of it I played.
I'm not going to spend a lot of time going over these, but I want to say my favorite game of the year, the game I had the most fun playing, was Super Mario Odyssey on Nintendo Switch.
So I don't have a Nintendo Switch.
I know that.
I probably will never get one.
Doesn't always have to be about you. I'm just saying. My favorite game.
I'm talking about me now.
Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2.
I haven't played that yet.
Had a lot of fun playing that game.
It looked fun.
The game I was talking about earlier, SteamWorld Dig 2. Uncharted The Lost Legacy. I need to go back in there and finish that game. I'm pretty close to the end, but... all the Uncharted games are always a lot of fun to play through.
Yeah, they usually, if I play it, usually becomes one of my favorite games of the year anyway.
Metroid Samus Returns, my only 3DS handheld game on the list.
Okay.
But it's Metroid, so I sort of feel obligated. But it was a good game, so.
All right.
Sonic Mania.
I played that. I loved it, but God, I don't remember Sonic being that difficult.
Oh, Sonic has always been difficult.
Sonic's always been hard.
Oh, yeah.
I got so frustrated with it. I was just this game.
Speaking of hard, Cuphead.
It's in there in my top games of the year. You'd love Cuphead, Dave.
I know. It's one of the games this year that I really, really, really want to get.
Do you have an Xbox?
360.
Oh, it's only on Xbox One.
Yeah.
So
Steam, it's on Steam, yeah.
Is it on Steam?
I'd probably get it on Steam.
A game that we both just finished, South Park, The Fractured Butthole.
That's right.
We talked about, we both had the same glitch in the game, which sucked. Horizon Zero Dawn, which you just started playing, right?
I just started, yeah. I know it's a game that came out
I'm probably
last
about
year.
7 or 8 hours into it. I need to probably pick that game back up, too. It's a great game, though. It's beautiful.
It's complicated
amazing.
And difficult at times, but it's...
My favorite horror game, I'm just going to say that, is Resident Evil 7.
Okay.
The game, they flipped the script on the game style. It's a first person shooter now, but there was just, it was like playing through a bad horror movie.
So they're trying to go like the Doom route?
No, not like Doom at all. It's more of like, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre type, but mixed with like that Resident Evil-ness to it.
I never played a Resident Evil game.
Okay. Well, you've seen the movies, right?
The first one.
Okay. Yeah, I think. That's my list right there. I mean, that's the best games I played this year.
I played more. Your list is much larger than mine.
Yeah. It's bigger than Dave's.
Well, he was busy.
Yeah, going to Disney.
Yeah.
I think that's it. Let's wrap up the show. We have a couple more things.
Let's wrap up this 2017. Wrap up.
So I guess 2017 was a good year. So, I mean... For media, at least.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of shitty movies.
Shit show of a year.
Yeah. I'm not talking about that. We're not going there.
Well, I mean, let me put this in nicest way possible. There were some really bad things that happened in 2017, but there were some really great things that happened in 2017. So, here's hoping 2018's better.
Yay, 2018. Come on.
And no floods this time.
That's right. So, 2017 wrapped up in a nutshell. That was it?
Yep. That was that. Done.
So long.
It was huge.
Don't start on that.
It was the best year ever.
Okay, did you see the bad animatronic of Trump at Hall of Presidents?
Oh, you mean Hillary Clinton dressed up as
yes.
Trump? Yeah,
fucking
I have seen
hilarious.
That.
It wasn't open yet when I was there.
Oh, really?
Oh, was it?
No.
You would have gone to it, wouldn't you have?
I don't know if
you
I would
had
have.
To have.
I don't know if I would have.
So,
you would have had to.
Clear this up for me. Me and Catherine were talking about this, and you can chime in as well. Is Hall of Presidents a ride?
It's
an attraction.
No, it's like a...
It's a walkthrough thing, right?
No.
It's like a theater show.
Is it like the Wheel of Innovation that we saw?
It's...
The Carousel of Progress?
Yes. Sorry.
Sort of, but it's
like that, but you don't go anywhere.
You go into a theater and then you watch the show, the animatronics come out, and that's pretty much it. It's about America.
Okay. Well, so she's half right and I'm half right. We're both kind of wrong.
But you're both wrong.
Right. So. I'm going to tell her that. You're not right, but you're not wrong either.
You're mostly wrong. You're more wrong than her.
Well, I just said it was like something you go watch. You like go and stand up and look at.
It's like you go sit in theater seats and
see. I thought it was a thing that you just like walk into and just stand and look at.
It's actually in a theater, that type of environment, yeah.
Okay.
It's not, I mean, I haven't watched it in years and years. I don't know if I'm going to go see it again, but and it has nothing, no political thing. It's not, I don't know.
I watched it.
It's okay.
When we went on my honeymoon, I think, and I don't think I've gone back.
That's the perfect honeymoon attraction.
Trump.
Because nobody, you can just make out in the back, you know. Nobody's paying attention.
No one's listening to Abe Lincoln.
Abe Lincoln's probably the best thing in there.
Well, and that's why the whole attraction exists, is because of Abe Lincoln.
Yeah.
Because Walt wanted to have an animatronic Abe Lincoln for the World's Fair.
And they have, that was at Disneyland. I don't know if it still is there.
But that's what kicked all that off, was that original Abe Lincoln animatronic.
All right. Still half right.
Still half wrong, though, too. Well, I guess that's wrapping up, but we're gonna skip a couple things because we talked a lot about our rewind, so we're not gonna
blame it on Star Wars.
Blame it on Star Wars.
Thanks, Ryan Johnson.
No, thank you, Ryan Johnson. No,
quite literally, thank
you. So we're gonna skip George Hates Metal. We're gonna skip What's Tickling Our Geek. But
you're disappointing the fans everywhere.
Do you have anything 2018 that you're looking forward to off the top of your head?
Better movies.
I was gonna say good movies coming out. Hopefully,
yeah. Hopefully, movies better next year than they were this year. It was a real like roulette roll of the dice.
I'm looking forward. I'll tell you the one thing I'm looking forward to. It's hopefully coming out this year is Kingdom Hearts 3.
I was going to say, that's not a movie.
No.
I've never played any of the Kingdom Hearts game.
What?
Well, I don't like Final Fantasy very much.
Well, I don't either.
And
we've talked about this.
And it looks cool, but then it looks very like Japanese video game, which I don't really
but
like
it's
those
more,
games.
It's more action game than in turn-based, so don't let that throw you off.
Okay.
I'll let you borrow one if you want to check it out.
I'll check it out. I still have a lot of games to play through first.
Let me know.
Okay.
What are you looking forward to besides good movies?
Spider-Man, the video game.
Okay, that's a good one.
I want that to come out already, and I want to play that.
Me too.
I will spend many hours playing that, I'm sure, over and over again.
What about you, Dave? Anything?
Nothing in particular.
The world to end.
That's happening.
Yeah, maybe.
We don't need help on that one.
Florida's sinking, so the world is ending.
Oh, shit.
No more, is that the signifier?
Yes.
If there's no more, for me, if there's no more Disney World, the world is ending.
Exactly. That's where I was going with it.
I don't have anything in particular right now. I'm still looking backwards at the stuff that I've got to get
caught
up on.
He's more contemplative right now than
I am a little bit, actually. I'm kind of in that headspace right now.
I want my battle jacket to be finished and to be awesome.
It'll never be finished. That's
it probably
point.
Won't.
That's the point.
It will always be updates to be made.
It's probably true.
My comic, I want that to be well under its way. We're trying to get stuff together so we can do another Kickstarter. So if people are listening and they like the comic book, you know, keep your eye open. More updates are coming and more issues are coming along the way.
Cool.
Yep. And then maybe another story or prepping another story.
I've heard rumors about that.
Rumors.
So I guess let's talk about our sponsor real quick, and we'll just wrap this up.
We have a sponsor?
We do have a sponsor. Do you know what it is?
Something.
God damn it, dude. Would that something be called tantrumcollectibles.com?
I knew
that's exactly what he was thinking.
Yeah, it's exactly what I was thinking about.
I just took the words right out of your mouth.
Yeah, I knew it's collectible something.
What can you get there?
Stuff.
Like?
Collectibles.
And?
Other collectibles.
What kind of collectibles?
Like Funko Pops.
Okay.
Yeah.
And?
Like those anime figures.
Yes, like Bandai.
There you go.
Artifacts.
Yep.
What about Banpresto?
Sure.
Anime figures.
Them too.
And Funko Pops.
I said lots that. I said that
Pops
already.
Because they're making Funko
now,
Pops.
Now you're just repeating yourself.
I'm just padding the time. Yeah, if you want to go to tantrumcollectibles.com, put in the code MetalGeeks, and you're going to save 10% off your entire order. Yeah, that's really cool.
10%.
10%.
10%.
Yes, that's what I said.
10%.
Let's talk about where people can find us on the internet. Of course, at Metal Geeks is our place on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can, of course, find us at our website at metalgeeks.net, as well as our sister show, the heavy metal version of MSRcast, which is MSRcast on the Twitter, Instagrams, and the Facebooks.
Is this the sister show, or are they the sister show?
We're sister shows for
they both
each other.
To, that's
it's it.
They're
yeah.
both sisters.
Who it's came, a yin and that, yang, right?
Who came first?
Works. MSRcast came first.
So technically, we're the sister show.
Sure. I guess.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. But we're the cooler ones.
Well, I'm involved in both, so I don't know about that.
Well, this is automatically cooler because I'm involved.
Like I said, I don't know about that one. You're half wrong.
But I'm half right.
You're half right. So where can people find you?
You can find me at George Tripsis on all the social medias. That includes Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. More importantly, you can check out my comic book, Speak No Evil, at Graber Comics. That's G-R-A-Y. Issues 1 and 2 are both on Comixology. Check it out. Speak No Evil, Graber Comics.
And I'm in issue 2, so it's the best one.
That's right. You are. And I think in issue 3?
Yeah.
Maybe? At least for a few panels. You're
making,
definitely in there
making
somewhere.
My comeback.
Making that comeback. Well, eventually we'll just kill you off.
That's fine.
Yeah. I mean, what better honor is that than getting killed off in a comic?
There is no greater honor.
Exactly. Unless you're Stan Lee.
Right.
Then you get to appear in Marvel.
You're going
to
make me do a Harry Carey?
A what? A Harukari?
Harukari.
Harukari?
Yes.
Yeah. Harry Carey.
You're going to go more the seppuku route.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I can see that.
Seppuku.
All right, so
sorry.
what about Dave here? Real Dave, where can people find your
Red Viking
brutalness?
Dave on
you can find
Facebook,
where all
Twitter.
The brutal people are.
Yes.
In Star Wars message board.
Star Wars message board.
Recently. I've been doing a lot of fighting about Star Wars on the internet.
Where have
recently.
You been doing your fighting?
Mostly
at?
On Facebook.
Oh, okay.
Cuz it's hilarious to me.
He's a Star Wars troll.
like at Star Wars.
No, I am
com
making legitimate arguments.
No, I know. No, there's nothing
but
wrong.
But I still think
I
it's hilarious. but Red Viking Dave at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. See what I'm up to. Yeah.
Any shows coming up for you?
Not immediately. There's some things that are kind of tentative right now. But we're still fresh in the year, and the calendar is still coming together.
Very good.
I'll put it that way.
Are y'all doing Classic Game Fest?
Yes.
Which is coming up soon, right?
No, Classic Game Fest is in July.
Oh, it's in July. I thought it was somewhere for some reason in like spring.
Comicpalooza would probably be the next show, right? Maybe.
Next convention, probably. Yeah. We will most likely be selling artwork at Sherwood Forest Fair again.
Okay.
And between now and then, I've been invited to a recurring art show that goes on here in Houston that I'm very interested in doing, but I haven't been able to sign up for yet.
Mm.
But I'll probably be doing some of those.
More details coming soon.
Yep.
That sounds fun. So, of course, before we forget, you can find us on Stitcher as well as Google Play, iTunes. When you're on iTunes, subscribe to us there. Give us a review. Like us when you're there. A 5-star review would help. You can also find us at, of course, MetalGeeks.net and ESOPodcast.com.
Tantrum Collectibles.
TantrumCollectibles.com is our sponsor. That is correct. You are correct, sir. And if you want to buy a t-shirt, go to redbubble.com, search for Metal Geeks, and we have a couple t-shirts up for sale.
T-shirts.
And maybe some new pins and patches coming soon.
Hey,
we're talking about
new
speaking of our battle jackets.
New patches.
New because they've never been done before.
Oh, got it. Cool. Yeah. Are we going to be doing enamel pins this time?
It's up to Dave here. I don't know.
Dave,
probably not.
Dave.
Buttons.
We need enamel pins.
Okay.
We need clothing. We need like Disney quality branding, you know.
There we go. Synergy.
I can't do enamel pins. So there you are.
There's the
time to learn.
One.
It's time to learn is what it is what I heard.
All right,
I would love to, because I'd love to get some of my art pieces on enamel pins.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Especially your Krampus one. That would be cool.
Yeah, definitely, man. I guess that's it. Any final things we would like to say?
Goodbye, 2017.
Oh, hey, I do want to say this. If you want, since this is our Rewind episode, if we forgot something that you really enjoyed in 2017, being a metal band or a movie, TV show, game,
don't tell
whatever,
us. We don't care.
Tweet us at, of course, at Metal Geeks on Twitter. Send us a message on Instagram. Post on the thread there and on Facebook.
That's the complete opposite of what I just said. What
did you just say?
I said, don't tell us. We don't care.
I do care.
That was the past. I'm in the new, baby. I'm in the new.
Or you can send us an email at msrcast@gmail.com.
That's right.
That's it.
And when you subscribe, be sure to subscribe. I don't know if you subscribed yet, but if you haven't, subscribe.
I think you're half wrong about that.
I'm no ways am I wrong. I'm screwed up so much.
All right, dude, just go home and watch your Boss Baby and we're done.
Never. No Boss Baby.
Last thing we got to say is...
keep it metal.
And keep it geeky.
What?
Yes.
No way.
Fuck yes.
Keep it geeky, motherfucker.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.